From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones. Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Fire! Blow it to hell!
For the last 30 years, one man has stood against the psychological operations launched by the mainstream media and the deep state. This man knew that the war would not be fought in the streets, but would be fought in the minds of freedom-loving humans everywhere. So stand with Alex Jones. This one man terminating wrecking ball of truth as he launches his next great operation. AlexJonesLive.com has launched. Spread this message far and wide because the tyrants want you fighting with each other instead of the true enemy of humanity. AlexJonesLive.com is the signal they can't stop.
You will never defeat humanity.
When the hydrogen bombs are detonating, and you're sitting in your house or office, and all of a sudden the windows all blow out, and then 10 seconds later, you see a flash of red coming at you, that's the firewall. And just remember, oh, Alex Jones was right. And that's if you're, you know, on the edge of the blast. You won't feel anything if you're actually in the epicenter of it. And, of course, maybe you're out in the middle of Montana or Wyoming. Well, you'll get the nuclear winter and the fallout, and then a few weeks after the nuclear war, here comes the warlords coming to loot your house and rape your wife and kids. And people got their teeth falling out from radiation poisoning, and all these crazy guys stumble out of their vehicles, and it'll be doctors and medics and engineers, and they'll all been gone totally crazy. You have a bunch of 140 IQ psychos that are literally going across the land like army ants, devouring everything in their way. And all the low IQ people will just be dead in a ditch. And then the near of civilization goes bye-bye, and all of a sudden there's all these monsters, all these 140, 150, 160 IQ monsters. The guy that used to manage the golf course, your surgeon, your neighbor who's the army vet. And now all of a sudden, they're hauling you up by a chain to butcher your ass and eat you. And if I wanted to get outside the blast zone, I could go get ready, and I could be the leader. I could be a new warlord. I could organize the engineers and scientists and warriors and have a battle plan how we were going to take the resources we needed, get to a redoubt, fortify it with weapons, because there's going to be other warlords coming soon we're going to contend with as we rebuild civilization. It's not that I want to be a warlord, but that's what we're going back to. Are you ready to be a warlord? Are you ready for me to be humongous? Just give us the gas. We spare your lives. I know how much pain you feel, but wait. Now is not the time. You'll be given your vengeance.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word. They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to AlexJonesApp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We're live, about to expose the SPLC. You are the Paul Revere. Share the live feeds now. Share the feeds.
Alex Jones at AlexJonesLive.com. You are the Paul Revere's. Share the links and spread the word. We've only just begun to fight.
It's Thursday night. We're live. 6:30 Central. The SPLC is going down. This behind the scenes at Tim Pool's offices is incredible. So proud of him.
Nobody tells me what to say.
He was a boy, she was a girl. Can I make it any more obvious?
I'm telling you, this is how you get civil war.
Well done, Timothy.
Now, Candace, say she's completely lost the plot.
Candace has completely lost the plot.
Now, Alex Jones, say he's doing more damage to the right than the left ever could.
Alex Jones is doing more damage to the right than the left ever could.
Okay, Timmy, anti-Israel rhetoric. Ask who benefits, then say Iran does.
At a certain point, you have to ask who benefits for all this anti-Israel predicament, because Iran certainly does.
Timothy, this next one is very important. Say I'm gay.
What?
Go on, Tim. Do it.
Tell everyone you're gay.
I'm gay.
He was a boy, she was a girl. Can I make it?
They called me crazy, they called me paranoid. But now they know I was right. Tonight, more conspiracies that turned out to be true on this episode of I Fucking Told You So.
Share the live feed now.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
All right, it's 6:31 Central. We're going live to expose the SPLC and their downfall. Incredible new behind-the-scenes developments with their indictments and more coming. Share the live feeds now.
AlexJonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today.
Enrique Tarrio, Stuart Rhodes, Joe Biggs, yours truly, Alex Jones. The SPLC is going down. The fall of the deep state's top attack dog is here. Thursday, August 20th, 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Thanks to all your support and prayers and financial support and our incredible crew, many of which have been working since 7 a.m. this morning. We are here fighting strong at AlexJonesLive.com. The SPLC's going down Thursday night special. The disgraced SPLC was recently indicted for funding major white supremacist groups in the U.S. Alex Jones' special guest break exclusive intel concerning bombshell new indictment set to drop against the leftist terror org. You want to fight back, and yours, you know, the ADL is heavily involved in this as well. We got exclusive information because they quarterbacked all the fake lawsuits and show trials against us. We already have so much of the intel. We have a special short documentary we're about to air that I'm going to go into the broadcast interview studio with Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, former political prisoner Jay Sixer, and, of course, Enrique Tarrio, similarly, Jay Six, political prisoner, Proud Boys, and Joe Biggs, same story. And all personal friends of mine for a very long time. Particularly, I've known Stuart for the longest in 15 years or so, and then, of course, Joe Biggs for about 11 years, and then Enrique in the last eight or so. Absolutely incredible information, and what's come out and what we'll be going over is the head of their intelligence unit, number two in the group, she has been indicted for living with the white supremacy commander, funneling millions of dollars allegedly, but it's on record she took it, to herself and him. And so they're the ones with the white supremacists. They're the ones literally funding all the major groups, as we told you decades ago. So is the ADL. They're heavily involved. And the chickens are coming home to roost on this, but there's reportedly new indictments. I've been talking to the FBI and others. I'll just leave it at that. The DOJ reached back out. I've talked to other sources. They've confirmed that the Trump administration basically greenlit investigations that were already going on previously and were happening under Pam Bondi, but she was using it for political power, according to our sources, to basically blackmail the Democrats not to push against her. And I'm not a fan of Todd Blanche because he publicly killed the investigations into the DOJ and CIA targeting me through the SPLC, but at least now he's going after the SPLC, and they are being investigated for what they did to myself, the Proud Boys, and the Oath Keepers. That's exclusive information. I can tell you that is being investigated, and he says a lot more indictments are coming. So that's all coming up this evening. But remember, we're not funded by the Qataris, the Israelis, the Russians, the Chinese, the U.S. government, the Democrats, the Republicans. I take no funding from major corporations. I take no funding from, you know, any groups out there than the few sponsors like Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, KEPM.com, highest rated, biggest gold and silver company. And we've got the satellite phone company as an advertiser. No political strings there. They're not a current advertiser. I got my sponsors got so harassed the last decade plus by the corporate media running them off, even though they got great responses, that I went to direct sales of storable foods and high-quality supplements and T-shirts and knives and cool stuff. And that's where we're funded at thealexjonesstore.com. And I've been suing them with multiple civil rights lawsuits you don't see in the news, but getting bombshell intel in these suits that's last year and now as well being delivered to the DOJ. But regardless, they're shitting bricks because we have absolute cut and dry that the CIA, the DOJ under Obama and then under Biden, continued under Trump. He didn't know about it, the DOJ. When Trump first got in January, it was in February of last year, did give us that declassified CD-ROM with all of the FBI documents of Obama ordering Comey when he first got in 2013 to target me and attack me under national security. Dragnet trying to find dirt. Audits, you name it. Of course, nothing was there. I mean, I'm a Boy Scout, folks. I'm what you see is what you get. I mean, I work 18 hours a day. My God, there's no time to be a bad boy. What I fight is the bad boys. But they see me as the really bad boy. So please remember, you are the Paul Revere. Share this live feed. That all the power is there. That's why I harp on it. At Real Alex Jones on X, at AJ and Live on X, and at rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. And, of course, the easiest place is alexjoneslive.com, our news site, where you can get all that information out. Now, we've got huge developments concerning the future of InfoWars and our studios and everything, but as soon as that's ready to be announced, I'll be able to, I hope in the next few weeks, but we have a limited crew and there's a lot of things involved that'll be explained once that happens. If I didn't have the crew working 12 hours, 14 hours a day, we'd have all this other stuff done, but we've had some huge behind-the-scenes victories that haven't been announced yet that will be announced, but that's because you've been praying for us. You've been spreading the word. You've stood with us. We've stood with you. I bet on you. You bet on me. It is amazing. So I'm going to leave the broadcast host studio, and I'm going to go into the interview studio here in a few minutes where Stuart Rhodes, founder of the Oath Keepers, former constitutional lawyer, Ron Paul Staffer is how I first met him, and so much more, and former J6 political prisoner who they told them all. They said, you know, you just turn on Trump and make up a bunch of lies about J6, and, you know, we'll let you get out of here. But they never buckled. They never backed down. And they're very thankful to Trump for doing what he did. But in the last year, him going sideways, they've still had enough integrity. They have nothing but integrity to speak out against it. So we'll be talking about that. But tonight, we are mainly focused on the Democrats and the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center and the incredible, disgusting activities they've been involved in, because these people send in infiltrators, PIs, you name it. It's funded by the deep state, by the DOJ, State Department, you name it, through NATO. I exposed that decades ago before NATO was such a big issue. Our government likes to do things overseas with illegal money so they can do illegal operations that aren't easily looked at by Congress and oversight. And so that's where we are. And she's already been indicted for running the white supremacy groups and, you know, living with the head guy and sending millions to herself and him and all the rest of it. But the word is, and the investigation is, and the information we're giving them is what they did with the Democratic Party and Democrat DOJ. I don't think they'll ever go after the DOJ for it, but they are at least going after the DOJ cutout that is this goblin creature, Heidi Beirich. And she honchoed and was the head person over the fake lawsuits of me being defaulted and found civilly liable or guilty, and then the HBO-produced show trials that were now confirmed, funded by the DOJ. That's all confirmed. We have the documents. We've done special reports on that. We've shown you that. We reared at that this week. But we have their ass here. We have their number here, and we have the intel on what's coming next with these creatures. They make these movies like One Battle After Another where, oh, it's a nice suburban house, but there's a white supremacist bunker under it, and any white man that has an executive job is secretly in a Nazi bunker. That doesn't exist, folks. Okay? But it only exists with the SPLC and the ADL and their underground bunkers running the white supremacist organizations to create the boogeyman that they need. And so this is a big, big deal. Regardless of what happens, they've been convicted in the court of public opinion. We have big news on Bill Gates and his daughter running through the universities, an alternate shadow government that's, quote, promoting a totalitarian world government to dominate and mind control the public. These are quotes. That's breaking all over mainstream news. Absolutely massive. So one way or another, we're moving the needle against tyranny and for liberty more in a month than we used to move it in a year or in 10 years. So this is huge. We also have Fauci's main aide indicted, now turning state's evidence against him. We just have so many incredible things that are happening. So just thank God for all of that, and thank God for all of you being so steadfast in this fight and realizing that InfoWars looks like it's going to rise from the ashes, but it doesn't matter. AlexJonesLive.com is the InfoWar 2.0 rising from the ashes. So share the live feed now at Real Alex Jones on X, AJN Live on X, Rumble.com/AlexJonesShowLive right there in the corner. And, of course, all the feeds, audio feeds, video feeds, all the special reports, the things the bad guys are fighting like the devil to stop because they realize it is the kryptonite. It is the high noon to vampires. It is a silver bullet to werewolves. It is the holy water. It is AlexJonesLive.com. Not me personally, but what we all do together, God's hand is 100% absolutely on target. We're on the march. The empire is on the run. And as much as I criticize Trump for going sideways, we put him in there. I'm proud we put him in the first term and fought back. Greatest comeback story ever. And just the dividends of a better Supreme Court, the dividends of all the exposure, this is way better than it would have been. And so I'm very proud I've supported Trump so far. And he's starting to really say that Israel's out of control, and he's starting to pull back. And that doesn't mean that he's pervert or we're reproving him or doing a facelift for Trump. But we will definitely try to get what we can still get out of Trump ahead of these midterms and continue to fight the real enemy, the globalists, the democratic socialists of America, and their whole New World Order system. And that's what this is all about. But for the apologist white pillars on the Israeli payroll saying any criticism of Trump is betrayal and working with the Democrats, you're the guys with your policies that are turning the public off with these betrayals and these wars and the inflation, everything we predicted would cause a bond default that's now happening and all the rest of it. No, you didn't want real constituents of Trump, real American patriots engaged so that you could have your way with him. But that's not what's happening. So we threw a big fit in this whole thing to get Trump's attention on it. We're starting to get some major movements. So that is a great blessing. So let me say before I go down or over into the other studio and break all this down with not victims of the enemy, overcomers of the enemy, but people that have fought the enemy, Stuart Rhodes, Enrique Tarrio, and my other good buddy, Joe Biggs, just remember this. You want to know where the funding comes from? I'm going to spend time on Tim Pool, who met secretly with Netanyahu and admitted he did it to think about how to suppress the American right wing and be pro-war. He also officially took money from Russia. He has now come out this morning and said he knows I took money to attack him. Won't say from who, with no proof. I'll assure you that's a lie. On my soul, strike me down, God, if I'm lying about that. Everybody knows, and God knows that's not true. But I just talked about him because there was a glitch on X that killed live stream viewers 90% over the weekend, and they looked like a glitch. I said, I think it's a glitch, but regardless, it's causing censorship. Please fix it. They fixed it within a day. And Tim Pool said, no, you don't have a viewers because you're not popular. You're not pro-Trump. You're not pro-war. And I said, that's a talking point. I noticed the Israeli bots put out, how dare you? You're the one that takes money. Or I can't prove that. You're the one meets with the Israeli prime minister who spent $1.3 billion buying American influencers. His response was, I did nothing. You just attacked me for no reason. And you have been paid to attack me as if he's important. So but he's just an archetypal example of these Judas Iscariots, these Benedict Arnolds. That we are dealing with. I'm not singling him out for any one reason other than he was one of the most prominent people with all this happening. So I just chose to make an example out of him because a lot of folks know who he is. Yeah, obviously we know a lot of people that work at his company, and there's a lot of go back to that. We have the video clip of that. Go back to that real quick. Obviously, we know a lot of people that work at his company, and there's a lot of fervor on what's going on. People sacrifice their morals for a paycheck. I mean, dude, you're teeing yourself up for a real defamation lawsuit, pal. Okay? We have a very small crew. Nobody said that. We have funds to operate at the current level. Fine. We want to expand. We are doing a fundraiser. But that is outrageous. And this morning he put out, Jones got paid. We know he's being paid to attack. He won't say by who. Did I meet with the Israeli prime minister secretly on how to attack the American right wing and be pro-war? Did I take Russian money like you admit you got caught doing? No. So I've never taken any money from any government or any major group other than the Pentagon, and that was right before I got banned on YouTube, and I was number one. They were doing huge ad buys on all the major channels that reach young males, and they spent the Air Force $20,000, the Marines like $5,000. I can pull that up, AP, Reuters, Media Matters. And the Pentagon said, we just made big ad buys on what was recommended that had top ratings. I mean, I was getting a billion views every quarter then or more. And it was no strings attached. I just took advertising. It's all God, $20,000 from the Air Force, $5,000 from the Marines. And then they dropped their advertising when they did that. So, pal, the only people that have ever buttered my bun from a government is the U.S. government, not the Russians, which you admit you took money from. So the only reason I raise that is this is insane. That there's proof he took money from the Russians, he admits it. He meets with the Prime Minister of Israel to how to suppress the American right-wing and counterists. And I'm not saying all these people are on the Israeli payroll. I like a lot of these guys. I like Benny Johnson. I like those folks. I don't even know who some of those people are. But my point is, you accuse me of this? Absolutely insane. Totally and completely bonker town. So, unbelievable. But let me tell you who funds me. You. And I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. You know, like a crack dealer giving 11-year-olds crack or heroin, he knows they'll get addicted. Well, the stuff I sell is good for you, but works really great. So I want it to work, like ultramethylene blue, like bovine colostrum, like the best rated Shilajit, the best Irish sea moss. Not sexy names, but do sexy things. And even though it's in our top 10 bestsellers, we're running a deal for just a few days at the alexjonesstore.com for the pineapple natural flavored Shilajit gummies that are absolutely super concentrated. And if you don't know about Shilajit research, this is the best. Boost your testosterone, libido, stamina, energy. This is really special stuff. A $40 value free. Buy a ball cap, a t-shirt, methylene blue, anything. $40 value. This is a loss leader, but it's for people that we want to get so that you're going to get hooked. So that's the whole point, and it's good for you, unlike heroin or cocaine. Get your free bottle of Shilajit right now with any purchase at thealexjonesstore.com. And finally, you've heard all the rage going on about minbenzidol and ivermectin, particularly together, not just antiparasitical, but all the other things that minbenzidol and ivermectin knock out and deal with. This is a detox you do a few times a year. You can get 1776rx.health, get pharmaceutical grade, literal pharmaceutical grade, very strong dose to detox yourself and to knock this garbage out. Everybody should do it. I do it at least twice a year. You can buy stuff online, but most of it's adulterated or watered down or not even real. This is from a pharmacy right now at 1776rx.health. And then you are the backer of Alex Jones and the next phase of the info war. You are the patriots. You know you're doing it. You know you're taking action. And you can't lose because funding this operation, you know, is having a huge effect. And the products really work. If you get one product, get ultramethylene blue. We're about to end the end of summer mega sale in just a few days. 50% off of the tincture and the pills, the very best medical grade methylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com, or get the minbenzidol and ivermectin combo, the two power pack duos at 1776rx.health. So that you want to know what funds the crew, you want to know what funds this operation? It is you, and I thank you humbly for your support and ask for your continued support right now. All right, here is a short documentary that Rob Due threw together with just the last week's developments with the indictment of the SPLC intelligence director, their previous indictment a few months ago, the new intel we've got of what's about to come out, how they honchoed the whole fakes, show trial garbage against me. And the DOJ funding it has been in the documents. The CIA involvement has been in the documents. They admit it. We're suing them. You don't hear about it in the news because we're so successful. It's the Onion didn't get InfoWars. You notice none of that happened. You're about to see major developments. They're going to blow you away soon about everything. But we're not ready yet to do it because of a few things that are going on in court. I'll just leave it at that. But we are because, well, then to catch a big fish, you get up to the boat, and even you got the fish gaffed. And now you're pulling it in. It's up over the edge of the boat, and we've got the huge bluefin tuna. But sometimes they flop and jump out of the boat. We got to open the big freezer door that goes into the pit of the ship. We're opening the door now, and once we drop the bluefin tuna on its head down through that hole into the ice, and then we pulled it over. Okay, it's in the boat. It's been gaffed. It's in the boat. Weighs like 100 pounds. As soon as the crew is swinging the door open, and as soon as we drop the bluefin tuna into the hole and close it, we're going to tell you all about it. But we don't count our chickens before they're hatched. We don't sell wine until it's time. And so it is in the boat. But I've seen fish flop around and get out of a boat. It will be in the ice. I mean, politically non-violently, actually, I've seen this before, but fish is flopping too much, like a shark. We may just take a dagger to the brain a little bit. I may actually go down in the hold with all the other, I may just like, just, oh, God, it's such good to have this. I just, Hell, we just might take a machete and just politically nonviolently chop the whole head off the bluefin. Just, I can't believe I got this champion bluefin. I'm just going to, or this giant marlin, 5,000 pounds, whatever. I mean, I am, I think they get that big. The point is that we're on like Donkey Kong. Okay. The fish is in the boat. The fish is in the boat. Elvis has entered the building, but we want to go to the next level. It's like having your wife 7 months pregnant and you think it's going to be great, but you don't jinx it yet. You don't, you know what I mean? You keep praying every day. Everything's going to be okay. So, you know, yeah, it's 7 months pregnant, baby. So big stuff. Thanks for your support. We're in this for the long haul. Persevering like George Washington. You are the Info War. You're not a supporter. You are the Info War. 1776 rx.health, thealexjonesstore.com. You are amazing. So let's go to this documentary. And then Stuart Rhodes, Enrique Tarrio, Joe Biggs, straight ahead on the fall. No way they're getting on. It's like we're a submarine hit a ship with five torpedoes. It's on fire. It's listing 60, 70 degrees. It's exploding. It's going down. All right. So we're going to have to get a bigger boat here, ladies and gentlemen. So that's what this is all about. This is spectacular. Their whole left-right paradigm, their whole white people are evil racists when they're running all the groups. Everything I ever told you is coming out. This is an amazing moment. So share those live feeds right now. All right. Let's go to this important short documentary, and then we'll get into the fall of the SPLC. And how that is going to unfold. Straight ahead, share the feed. We'll be right back.
I think white supremacy is, you know, one of the worst things mankind has come up with. Well, I can have a direct impact on these movements.
Heidi Byrick is leader of the Intelligence Project here at the Southern Poverty Law Center, a nonprofit anti-terror organization.
The number of hate groups has been increasing pretty rapidly and frighteningly, really since 2000.
One people, one nation, and immigration!
White supremacists commit far more acts of domestic terrorism in the United States than radical Islamists, for example.
The Southern Poverty Law Center, which of course claims to be an anti-white group, was actually funding hate. The feds say the SPLC used donor money to reimburse Klansmen from the KKK for cross burnings and even their notorious white robes. Can you believe it? They're also accused of paying white nationalists and KKK members to stay in those respective groups, even when the people said they wanted out.
It's also what happens when you listen to the radio host, Alex Jones, who claims that 9/11 and the Oklahoma City bombings were inside jobs.
And a lot of the ferment and activity, the protests, the rallies and whatnot, are circulated around the alt-right groups right now. In particular, groups that attach themselves directly to Donald Trump's campaign.
But Trump doesn't challenge these lies. He actually went on Jones's show and said, "Your reputation is amazing. I will not let you down."
We came up with this idea that we should sue these folks in civil court to bankrupt them. Our hope is that by taking their money away, they can't function anymore.
And that was successful?
Yes, every single one of them has been successful. Obviously, when these groups don't have money, that means there's
meanwhile,
less violence.
Meanwhile, she's the main funder.
Perpetrate. You know, the whole idea is to not allow them
and
to function.
And sucking their ding-dongs.
Today, my understanding is today there was an arrest made, and there is a new indictment that includes the former CFO of SPLC.
I wonder whether it was a result of sort of SPLC-funded agitprop, whether they were able to get the ear of the Sandy Hook lawyers and say, no, there's more.
This is next-level government weaponization. And their goal was, and of course it's come out in court, they ran with the FBI, with the CIA, the operations trying to shut us down, the show trials, all of it. And the lady that's been indicted, the former head of the SPLC until recently, she on record honchoed all this, and she's under criminal investigation. She's already been indicted specifically for trying to infiltrate the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, and InfoWars to try to spur us to do something criminal or try to find something that we had done that was criminal. And as I told you years ago, the fake lawsuits against us were all about finding something. And then we had groups associated with them plant child porn on us, but we never opened it. And then when they reported it, the FBI said we were victims. I mean, this has been one hell of a fight. They sent in their infiltrators. They got one main one in who jacked into our surveillance cameras for over a year, and then nothing bad was there, but still leaked the one thing over having cameras in the building, in the hallways and exits, entrances, of me at midnight by myself walking around with my shirt off, smoking a cigarette with drinking a vodka. This is huge. And if this was happening to somebody else, it'd be a big deal. We already have the CIA caught on undercover camera, confirmed CIA, how they ran the whole thing, which gave us a blueprint to research in federal documents. And then we remembered, oh, on the stand, the head of the FBI from Connecticut admitted that he went and orchestrated the lawsuits against us. Then we learned the DOJ illegally funded the lawsuits against us. The judges found me civilly liable or guilty, then had show trials produced by HBO. And the whole time, their main expert was the head of the SPLC. And now she's indicted, and it's illegal as hell for a private group, or even the government without warrants, to go in and internally try to destroy organizations and set people up. It's illegal, even if they have warrants, for the feds to do that. Obviously, there's going to be lawsuits over this, civilly, that's open and shut. We have way more than you even know. We have whistleblowers from the media, from the folks up in Connecticut, and also from inside of the government. But now we've got inside baseball today, and a lot more is about to come out confirming moles from the SPLC insider operation. I have names.
It looks like Alex Jones was right. The bombshell that Kash Patel and the acting attorney general, Todd Blanche, dropped this week was that the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the organization that for more than 50 years has committed to fighting for social justice and against racism and against extremism and violence, has actually been funding that racism, that extremism, that civil injustice behind the scenes.
Stop right now.
F-37 was a member of the chat group that planned the 2017 Unite the Right event in Charlottesville, Virginia, and attended the event at the direction of the SPLC. This individual made racist postings under the supervision of the SPLC and helped coordinate transportation to the event for several attendees. Between 2015 and 2023, the SPLC secretly paid this individual more than $270,000. Again, they put in $300K and they got fodder for a lifetime. And you know what? Alex Jones called it. He called it from the very beginning, all the way back in 2017, right after it happened, literally in August of 2017. He said that this was an inside job, as you can see right here. And this was his take.
Charlottesville was mainly a bunch of homosexual leftists dressing up like Nazis who'd all formerly worked for Obama or Hillary, part of their art club. And then they lured a bunch of reporters there and some real white supremacist so the police could stand down and collide them into the folks. I pointed out that some of the same leftist foundations are funding the white supremacists that are funding real white supremacists in Ukraine. I got sued for that. And I said it was all part of leftists coming out to come to this big event and hope there was some big crisis out of it to demonize the right in general and tie us to Nazis.
And, you know, when he says that they were hoping that some crisis would come out of it, it reminds me of that normal political phrase, like never let a crisis go to waste.
Also, they could demonize us, but the real mission was to find some type of criminal dirt on us. Now, Zach Drucker jacked into our surveillance cameras for over a year and then went and gave them all the footage. And did a bunch of other stuff and was interviewed. And there's the articles. There's three of them, or three parts. But I want to play, before we go to Norm Pattis, this short Fox News piece, because this is just a small window into this. Right when Trump got reelected, to Kash Patel's credit, 1 month after, they said, check your mail. In the mail came a DVD with a bunch of files on it from the DOJ with all of these counterterrorism espionage investigations around the Boston field office, going back to 2013, starting with Comey. That's the really nasty office for the really clandestine stuff, like the FBI hit teams with Whitey Bulger used to run out of there nationwide. And the mission was to destroy me.
I want to start off with the FOIA request that we got earlier this year, done by Chase Geiser, which details an investigation started against Alex Jones back in 2013 as being a white racially motivated extremists. So this started in 2013 and it was ongoing, where they had to approve it every 60 days. They would have to review it and go, okay, we're going to keep this going. So as far as we know, it's still ongoing. It's still on the books.
And we got the FOIA request that the Trump FBI gave to us. And yeah. Kyle Serafin, very famous FBI whistleblower who was in counterterrorism, looked at the codes on the documents. They're heavily redacted and blacked out. Right. And he said it was the Boston office. It happened right when Comey got appointed 2013 under Obama and was specifically running an espionage, counter-espionage operation against us, which is what they do when they try to do a dragnet to find some dirt, but can't do it inside of a regular criminal investigation. And then we got undercover CIA admitting and undercover FBI admitting it. They admitted on the stand. The FBI chief counsel in Connecticut went and created the lawsuits against me. So this is all known. The DOJ funded millions and millions of dollars to the groups to do this. That's all come out. You've seen us show you all that, the documents, all of it. Most of you know that Bloomberg and The Onion claimed that they bought us last November and we were shut down and it was a hoax and wasn't true. Remember all that? And the fact that these foundations connected to the Democratic Party with the Sandy Hook families raised hundreds of millions of dollars off my name, claiming I was victimizing them and attacking them and coming after them, and I never did any such thing. And, of course, we had an undercover video, a CIA-FBI operative, Gavin Oblebas, a few years ago, caught admitting that, well, we investigated Jones for a decade at the DOJ, and he didn't do anything wrong, so we went to Connecticut, and we set up these lawsuits against him. That was 2 years ago. And then William Oldenburg, the head counsel in Connecticut of the FBI, got up on the stand during the show trial and said that he went and instituted the lawsuits and organized it all with Koskoff and Koskoff and the families who were running the foundations that were raising the hundreds of millions of dollars off my name. We've already detailed all of that. We put the graphs here on screen. But now, researching this in the last few weeks, we have discovered that in October of 2022, the DOJ paid two grants to one of the Sandy Hook foundations with the main plaintiffs against me that totaled exactly $1.7 million. And then a month later, Koskoff and Koskoff, the law Democrat Party law firm coming after me, put in their bill for $1.7 million for the past few years before that. Incredible. What do you call that? It's a big enough scandal to have the DOJ giving grants to the very groups and individuals suing me. But now we have them give them the grant, and a month later they put in their bill that is the exact same amount. They have a name for that. It's called looks like money laundering. Maybe it's just a coincidence. But when you have the SPLC sending people in to infiltrate companies, to then feed information to civil lawsuits, that is illegal as hell on so many fronts, and not to mention uncivil. The lawsuits out of this are just slam dunks, ladies and gentlemen. And don't worry, that train's a-coming. You can hear it around the bend. And when we're done, we hope you're in Folsom Prison. We had the Southern Poverty Law Center successfully infiltrated and did a year-long operation, but the person was compartmentalized just as an editor. And I wasn't sure about the person, so I just said, you know, let him be an editor over there. Don't involve him in anything. And then sure enough, hacked into the systems, didn't get much. But, I mean, we're talking espionage, okay? So when I tell you about me, and we'll skip this break coming up and give Gerald some time here, I have been run over by the same truck as Stephen Crowder, and by the way, I've been backed over a few times by it, too. I'm not trying to keep score here, but let me tell you, they really took the brass knuckles to me, okay? By the way, when they sued me, Hillary Clinton's, one of her operatives from the State Department, they dropped it later. I specifically, that reporter you saw that was posted on Fox News showing me, explaining it was NGOs, in the longer clips, I say Southern Poverty Law Center. They had to have this victory. So they get the Southern Poverty Law Center, who's been caught doing this before, to come in, get a few people from central casting, actors, and dress up, you know, like the white supremacists. Then they've got all the Antifa bust in by Soros and everybody. They're ready then, and the police kettle the normal conservatives, march them through, let them get beaten up for the psyop of the image of conservatives getting beat up and Antifa being victorious. I want to warn you, Kessler, particularly, if you are a Fed, they're going to burn you in the end. So you're in grave danger.
I'm not. Alex, don't spread stuff like that without evidence. Come on, man. Like, at that press conference yesterday, I went by myself because I didn't want to endanger other people. Other people who have worked with me are, you know, they're having their jobs threatened. People.
Why'd you choose a city with a Democrat mayor?
You should see the threat. You should see the emails and the phone calls that I get nonstop day and night threatening my life. threatening my family's lives. And I walked through a crowd, about 100 Antifa and Black Lives Matter, to get to that press conference yesterday. I was ready to die, Alex. I was ready to die for what I believed in.
What about Charlottesville and the Charlottesville Unite the Right rally? Were they involved in that?
Yes. So what we allege in the indictment and what the grand jury found is that one of the individuals that they paid was one of the folks who helped organize that terrible event. And so so imagine what we're talking about, Laura. We're talking about an organization that actively came out and just screamed it from the top of their lungs.
So people understand watching this, did these informants in some cases, given the evidence you've seen, actually initiate what would ultimately be these activities? And obviously Charlottesville ended with a tragedy.
Well, we know that they were part of those. They were part of it. Whether they were the leaders or the initiators, that'll come out, I think, eventually.
Because I already knew, okay? And so this is a big deal. So here's the Fox News clips. We'll go to Norm Pattison. I appreciate him holding while he gives some backstory here. But here they are reporting on how Obama targeted dozens of conservative groups, including Breitbart. And you see on the map and the document from the DOJ, Congress released this recently. You see InfoWars right up on the right-hand side of the pyramid. So it's in the documents, but we also have the documents from the DOJ that we published, how we were targeted. Todd Blanche killed the investigation that Ed Martin was running in the Weaponization Committee operation, but I was told by a big reporter that Todd Blanche wanted to meet with me and that actually they had just moved the investigation and that I should meet with him and trust him. We will see. But I will tell you that I'm talking to the DOJ and the FBI. And you've heard there's more indictments coming. So we have them cut and dry. Not just funding white supremacist groups and getting them to do illegal things is the charges, but also targeting the groups that Obama and then it continued with Biden ordered them to target.
Fox Business, a bombshell new report reveals the Biden administration is using taxpayer money to wage a covert war on conservatives and Christian groups. The Media Research Center, a conservative watchdog group, obtaining documents showing DHS, Department of Homeland Security, is using a program meant to fight terrorists, which includes groups like the Heritage Foundation, MAGA, Fox News, even the Republican National Committee in the same category.
Yeah, the Republicans, you know, they're just terrorists down the bottom. But as you go up towards the more evil, let's put it back on screen. Pause, please. I'm in with Breitbart, PragerU, Proud Boys, Turning Point USA for destruction. Shut our sites down. Take our banking away. Don't let us assemble in public. Outlaw us. And I'm listed, and we got the DOJ documents. Now we know this lady, who was the head of this operation, the SPLC, she was involved in the lawsuits against me. She was one of their witnesses. She was one of their experts. She was supposed to testify, but they got scared and pulled her. The SPLC put multiple operatives in. That's been confirmed. They've admitted it. It's now under criminal investigation. I can tell you that exclusively by the DOJ. She's been indicted, and more indictments are coming, Todd Blanche said last week. Norm Pattis, that was quite the buildup, but just what do you want to impart to people? This is a pretty big deal. They're running scared right now.
It's a huge deal. It reminds me very much of what happened with the Church Committee in the 70s when the whistle was blown on the COINTELPRO operations that the FBI engaged against the left. During the Proud Boys trial, for example, we had to fight very hard to get evidence before the jury that there were federal confidential human sources embedded in the Proud Boys. And we fought and started to win that battle. And our point was, if this was a planned event, the CHSs, the snitches would have known about it. One night when it was pretty clear we were going to get a list of names in front of the jury, a senior Justice Department official came up to me in the hall and said, "What are you looking for?" And I said, "I want to find out how many CHSs you had on the ground with the Proud Boys on January 6th. Why? Because I don't think there was a plan. I don't think you think there was a plan. And if there was one, all these eyes and ears on the ground would have found it." It, to keep me from asking more questions and blowing the lid off of that, we reached a stipulation. They gave us a number which we thought was reasonable, and we were able to argue that in front of the jury. I've always regretted that and wondered what it was we left on the table. The job was to defend the boys, not to be a journalist and uncover larger truths. But it told me there was a lot going on with CHSs. When I saw the Byrick indictment last week, I about fell out of my chair. You know, Heidi Byrick was listed as an expert on extremism, and they had tendered her, the Sandy plaintiffs, as a potential witness in your case as an expert. So we took her deposition and she didn't do very well in my view. So I wasn't surprised that she didn't testify. However, I'm now reading and I've heard from Nick Hassiafatsu, Nick the Hat out in Pennsylvania, that he's got an FBI source that is prepared to come forward and say that there were sources in your organization, Alex, that were beholden to InfoWars during the trial. And that just drives me crazy. I mean, what happened to you in that trial was unprecedented in American history, in my view. You provided tens of thousands of documents. You sat for hours worth of depositions. People, everyone close to you sat for depositions. The Sandy Hook plaintiffs were never persuaded that you were forthcoming with all the information you had, so they persuaded a judge to grant a default. Who told them you weren't forthcoming? I spent weeks, not consecutive days, but weeks of times over a couple-year period at your organization looking for all the documents that I could find. I didn't think that there was more to give than we gave. Somebody told the Sandy Hook plaintiffs that there were, and then they persuaded the judge that they were, that there were. The judge defaulted you, basically keeping from the jury the fact that you had complied with discovery, that you had in fact participated in the civil justice system, but instead told the jury you'd been found liable for causing harm. And the result was this eye-popping verdict that was untethered to the facts of the case.
This is the investigation was on that. The FBI and DOJ did not know that the SPLC bragged they had an infiltrator and a confidential human source, Zach Drucker, insider operation, who they did a three-part series with. So there they are admitting they did that. And then we know of another one because of sources, as this guy shot his mouth off in front of people. They don't know how many people we've got just everywhere.
I was talking to journalists behind the scenes, and one of the first things that I said, and I said it to her in this particular article, and I went back and just reviewed it. It comes from September of 2022. I said that the demand for white supremacy in the United States, this is by the political establishment on the left, and then also the sort of hangers-on that go along with it. That demand for white supremacy vastly outstrips the actual supply for white supremacy. And because of that, they have to go to the well, and they have to drum things up, create things up, and it turns out actually fund this thing. So they've been throwing money to the KKK, to neo-Nazis. They were going out there and trying to find out, if can we get something to pretend like Alex Jones is worse than he really is? Can we find something damning or incriminating? Can we say that he's getting text messages that says that he lives in hell? And, you know, what can we do to try to get our donors behind this? And the crazy thing is that the FBI had a historical relationship with the SPLC, which goes back decades.
Once he quit, because I guess they were ready to activate him with his disinformation, people came in and they said, we didn't know what was going on, but I've got like engineers, software guys, people, you know, like Rob Dew, like most of my crew are like liberal hippies that woke up Democrats are mad and aren't like, I mean, these are the opposite. Like half the time they're down at the, you know, elephant room watching reggae playing. So these are not Nazis. You've seen my crew. But the point is that this guy literally, once I saw the movie, One Battle After Another, which is another leftist fever dream where the secret wall goes up and the white executives are all really Nazis. That's what this guy was doing the last few weeks or month. He's like, so I want to be let in on the Nazi stuff. I really hate the Jews and the black people, too. I want to get them. And then people are like, dude, we're going to tell Alex your son. What is this? Well, I just hate N-words and stuff. But that's all they had. And they and jacking into our surveillance cameras and trying to break into computers, like they break into a computer and they find the secret Hitler codes or something. It's like they were really believing we're doing this when they're the ones financing and funding the real Nazis. It's insane.
One of the dumbest ones I remember doing, there was a guy that he apparently was going to shoot black cops in Georgia, and he was an active duty military member. We surveilled him for 4 months, maybe, and it wasn't just my team. My team rotated in and out. They had a full-time surveillance team that moved from where they lived, full-time residents for 3+ months on, you know, TDY to a hotel. It's $10,000 per shift to do full-time surveillance like this. And they had 2 to 3 shifts on this guy for 3-4 months. So they spent millions of dollars to follow him around. He was a nobody in the military. He was a E4 or below. I'm going to be kind of vague about it. He had no ability to actually project force. He was still following the rules of his command. And then the best part was they actually sent an undercover agent at him. And the agent sat down with him and had dinner, and we surveilled the meat at the dinner. We had mics in at the table and this kind of stuff. And they're like, so are we going to go kill the N-word cops or whatever? And he was like, I just want to kind of get out of the military and just like go get a girlfriend and maybe a job. He's like, I'd love if like some girl would like hold my hand or something. And they're like, yeah, but then we like kill the N-word cops, right? And he's like, maybe not. Like, maybe one day. But like, really, I just need to start like probably earning a living.
Incredible. And meanwhile, the SPLC is literally meeting and running the Nazis in the secret meeting. So they're saying we're that. But show the B-roll. They're the ones having one battle after another, actual meetings with the white supremacists and running them. So what they say right. We are is them. It's totally insane. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's confession through projection. When you do nefarious, weird things, then you assume everybody else does. In the law enforcement world, sometimes we call it guilty knowledge. I had a buddy who was a street cop for a long time, and he would always try to teach new surveillance agents this. He's like, look, you're watching people for a living. You're sitting in your car, spying on other people, trying to build a criminal case on them, and you know that. So you cannot unknow what you're doing there. But nobody else looks in the car and goes, oh, I bet that's an FBI agent who's spying on me. What they do is they're like, what's that guy there? What's he doing? So when people come up to you and you act natural, you can get away with it. But you always have that guilty knowledge that inside your job is to hide stuff. And that's what these people were doing. They were hiding things. They were doing nefarious stuff. They were running the organizations that they were funding the organizations they were ostensibly trying to wipe out. But guess what happens if you wipe out white supremacy, Alex? You don't need an SPLC anymore.
All right, folks, it is Thursday night, August 20th. 2026, and we've got Stuart Rhodes, founder of the Oath Keepers, former constitutional lawyer, Ron Paul Stafford, back when I first used to interview him. They say, yeah, we know about the police state, the New World Order, but have this guy on, the one that's been Yale Award for his research. So I've known Stuart before he founded Oath Keepers. And we've got Enrique Tarrio, who's actually over in Europe doing an investigation in Poland. So we'll get to him first. We get to bed. It's 3 a.m. there. And then the great Joe Biggs, former Enforce reporter, former political prisoner, Proud Boys as well. But great to have you both here. I want to end the time we have because it's a long intro and setup here. Just in general, your overall 35,000-foot view of what's happening, what you've gone through, the SPLC and ADL, and the fact that we're not naive, but indictments of them, indictments of their intelligence head, the FBI wanting information from me about them targeting us, they ran the show trial. I mean, something's going on big. Maybe Trump's just using this as leverage, but they are not happy campers. And just the public indictment of these people, this all coming out, that all the major white supremacist groups and Charlottesville, all this they were running. This overall is a victory in the court of public opinion, in my view. Stuart Rhodes, give us about a 5-10 minute synopsis. I want to bring Enrique Tarrio in here and let him get back to bed. Then we're going to bring Joe Biggs in here. But I just want to get your response, to all of this. You've now been fully exonerated, not just you're being let out of prison, but now the full deal with your rights back. So fully vindicated as well. Founder of the Oath Keepers, good friend of mine, Stuart Rhodes.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's a great sign. It's a pleasant surprise. I think it's fantastic. I'm still skeptical. My concern is that they'll just run the clock out until Trump's gone and dismiss the charges, or some leftist judge will do it. And the problem I have is I've seen, you haven't seen any judges in this country purged yet. They should all be impeached and removed from office.
Article 3. So people right. Don't know. They're not only the Supreme Court's co-equal, not the other judges.
Sure. So they could all be removed from through impeachment. So I'm skeptical. It's positive. It's a good thing. I hope it keeps going. But I always worry that in the long run, like I said, they'll just run the clock out and dismiss the charges. So, but I'll take what I can get. So I think it's fantastic. All it does is confirm we always knew. You knew this way back. I knew it way back, too, that Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL, I characterize it as just another finger on the same fist. The ADL, SPLC, the propaganda arm, they work hand and fist with the CIA and with the FBI to demonize, target, marginalize, and then imprison people and debank them and everything else they do. The lawfare they did against you, like you played an earlier clip of Heidi herself saying this is their game plan. They'll go and they'll file civil lawsuits against groups to, break them financially.
Rigged courts.
Yeah, in rigged courts. But what's ironic and what's wonderful about this is that while she's saying that's what they're doing, she's actually sleeping with one of their leaders and funding these groups, the actual neo-Nazis, the actual white nationalists, KKK.
Yeah, let me give people a newsflash. I know all the right-wing patriot leaders, and the ones that are critical of Israel are a little racist. We're like, hey, settle down. It's all out in the open. You people like you, me, Enrique, we're America. You got red blood. You love freedom. We're brothers. And that's the groups they target, is the real groups that can unify people.
Yeah, what's ironic about it is that back then, as a Christian, I was pro-Israel because I was raised to believe that we have to support Israel. So they were painting me falsely as being, anti-Semitic or whatever. I call it a conflation.
You were even somewhat provisional until about 2 years ago, but it got so obvious.
So now it's become so obvious, and I woke up to the game that they played. I no longer refer to it as Judeo-Christian value. That's
even
ridiculous.
Huckabee came out today and said the settlers are terrorists and committing crimes and murdering everybody, which is true. It's just too obvious.
Right. So they really, the bottom line is that the entire agenda all along was to crush the West, to, you know, wipe out European culture, Western culture, Christianity. That's why I woke up to. When I was a student at Yale Law School, I saw dual citizen Israelis who were communist, who don't believe in God, support Israel because they're loyal to Israel, even though they didn't believe in a God. So I saw that. I knew about that. What I didn't realize was how the Orthodox rabbis are as rapidly anti-Western as the communists are. They say that they're, you know, that Islam is the broom of Israel to sweep away Christianity, and only when Christianity is destroyed can their Messiah return. So now I'm wide awake about that. So I'm definitely America only. I'm anti-Israel. To my mindset is I'm opposed to Islam, and I'm opposed to Israel, pox in both their houses.
And just to be clear, just to recap, I'm talking to the DOJ, the FBI. Already Ed Martin was investigating him. That got killed, but Blanche now has continued, and she is being investigated, not just for funding major white supremacist groups and the Southern Poverty Law Center as a group being indicted. They are now looking at their targeting of populist pro-Trump groups and J6, and that's what the sources that former Proud Boys lawyer and my former lawyer, but also my FBI sources have said, and DOJ sources, and I'll just stop there, is that, no, they are specifically now the next indictments that they're looking at, and they've got them reportedly, and it, you know, takes time, is that they wanted to infiltrate the Proud Boys, InfoWars, and Oath Keepers. It only hit the news, InfoWars and Proud Boys, but it was Oath Keepers, too. I'm now confirmed as of yesterday. That's why I wanted to get you down here. We didn't have time today to talk because so much is going on.
Right.
I'm telling you on air that specifically this lady was trying to get in and radicalize us and set us up. Of course, I was there in the days before. We're like, what do we do if Antifa attacks us? Well, we're peaceful and support the police. There was never a plan to attack. Enrique wasn't even there. They put him in jail for 20-something years if they could. So this is a big deal. We're giving you a first look of what's coming next. And Blanchett said, no, look for more indictments. And I'm not lionizing him, but they've started the indictments. More indictments have happened. And I would not have the FBI and DOJ reaching out to me. And I talked to Serafin. He wouldn't get into all the sources, but he knows people running it. And he said, yeah, indeed, there is a whole bunch more coming. And they are looking at all that. So, and he's always been really accurate.
You know, that's good.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll take what I can get. Because, you know, we're still, myself, Enrique, Oath Keepers and Proud Boys, we're co-defendants of President Trump in two active civil suits against us, claiming that we were trying to disenfranchise black people, you know, violating the KKK Act. That's an old, it's like a zombie.
Well, listen, they sued the gay activists. Brandon Strzok didn't even go in the Capitol with that KKK stuff.
Yeah, it's all nonsense. It's the same narrative that we're all white supremacists, we're all, you know, racist. It's just garbage. What it is they will attack everybody. Like, you know, look at Enrique. He's half black, half Cuban. A lot of the Proud Boys are black and Hispanic. A lot of the Oath Keepers are that way,
too. They're scared of it.
They're just patriots who love the West. You know, I agree with the Proud Boys statement that, you know, we're Western chauvinists. That's exactly right.
But that's what they were scared of, is the fact that it was unified around America.
That's right. They don't want us to unite to defend the West against destruction. That's what the bottom line is they want to destroy the West, destroy Western civilization.
Are you with the Chi-Coms and Islam and Israel playing us off against each other, or are you for America?
Yeah.
It's common sense. So we're going to continue with you. But Enrique, I know, is exhausted. 3 a.m. over in Poland. Wow. We do what the Poles do. They know what to do.
Exactly.
Enrique, I want to ask you about that, too. But now seeing them indicted 3 months ago, her now indicted, knowing now that they are specifically looking at her for targeting you, Stuart, the Oath Keepers, the Proud Boys, myself, I'm kind of proud in a sick way that we're the three groups. I mean, wow, what do you think of that? Means we're doing our job, folks. I mean, people that call, like Tim Pool calling me a Fed with no proof, dude, give me a break. Yeah. I got this. I mean, that's a freaking joke. I didn't meet secretly with the ambassador or the prime minister of Israel about censoring. I didn't take Russian money like you, pal. And quite frankly, it wasn't funny. I take it as a real insult, man. That's why I called him out for Bare Knuckles boxing match. It was a joke at first, but now that you came out and said you knew I took money and then I'm all this other crap, dude, get in the ring with me, man, because you are a piece of shit. Sorry,
let's go get ahead. It on.
That's just a fuck. Well, dude, he takes Russian money and meets with the Israel on censorship, and he turns around and says, I'm a foreign agent and won't name it. Sorry, Enrique. Go ahead, brother. I'm proud that we're proven bona fide deep state enemies number one. We are definitely brothers in this. We don't have a lot of peers. It's weird to be in this club, isn't it?
That's it.
Yeah, brother. So what do you make of being in the club? And in fact, more than me, they threw your ass in prison.
Yeah, well, let me start with this. Alex, like, you've been doing this for a long time, and you saw it coming a long time ago. And they start by testing the waters, right? And how do they start by testing the waters? They get groups like the SPLC, and then they prod our groups, the InfoWars, the InfoWarriors out there, the Alex Jones Network now, the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys. And where did they start? And this lady is an important piece to that puzzle. Haiti Bayrick, right? She was the one in charge of contacting the social media companies, Facebook, Twitter, Jack Dorsey, Mark Zuckerberg, and giving them the information on who to ban. A lot of people don't know this. If you go to my page at Noble One and you go to articles, it's the latest article written up there. And it goes through the timeline of what she's done in here. And Stuart says something that's really important, because we gotten all the way from censorship in our voices to deplatforming on financial platforms, and then to eventually putting us in prison, right? And every step of the way, the SPLC and this woman, with this woman at its head, has been at the forefront.
And that's what they say now. We play clips even today of big leftist groups, Democrats, saying they want to ban us from public and they want to put us in prison for our speech. I mean, that is totalitarian.
It is. It is. And it always starts with speech. It always starts with the First Amendment and goes all the way through the spectrum. And then with her specifically, if you remember this Black Lives Matter banner that I was sued for, not even the one that was burned, not the one that I allegedly burned. This is another Black Lives Matter banner that I don't even know what happened to it. This lady was their star witness for the Paul Weiss firm.
By the way, that's the group that's been quarterbacking the lawsuits against me.
Yes, yes.
All the same coordinating group.
All of us, the Oath Keepers, everybody involved.
She was the woman indicted is the star witness on me, you, all of us. Yeah,
and so what we're going to try to do now in the coming week or so is we're going to push back on some of these lawsuits that were defaulted because we were in prison and we couldn't answer none of this. So we're
defaulted like Mike Lindell and his Smartmatic case, like Trump and like me.
Yes, a little bit different, because what they used in our case is that we weren't responding to these motions. Well, I'll tell you why we were
in prison.
We were in prison. We were transferred everywhere.
You're in the hole, and you're supposed to respond.
Exactly.
So for now, I owe the Paul Weiss firm $3 million for that. Not even that banner. Not even that banner that you have on there. Another banner that we have not seen yet. One that doesn't exist. And it all boils down to the SPLC. Look, Stuart Rhodes is
so
right.
So the left rapes and robs and burns down buildings, it's fine. You pull down some commie banner and burn it, you owe $3
million. You don't even have to do that. You just have to be in the same city where that's being done, and you're sued for $3 million. And right now, currently, I have an arrest warrant for me because I refuse to give up my cell phone. I'm not going to give them my cell phone. I told the judge right here, like a Zoom conference like we're doing right now, I told the judge, there is no way in hell that I'm going to give you, the Paul Weiss firm, or that church my cell phone, because it's not that they're looking for financial information, because that's what they're claiming, that they're looking for financial information on how to collect all this money. I'm broke.
No, they want to harass your friends and family, just like they had an infiltrator at Oath Keepers that got their data list.
They want to go beyond that. They want to get my cell phone and clone the exact everything on the phone and give it to the Paul Weiss firm. You know why they want
to
do
that?
And
then Paul Weiss firm, like they did to me, will leak the phone to the world, to the Southern Poverty Law Center to publish.
The more important thing is, forget about leak it to the world. They will leak it. They're waiting. They're playing the long game, right? They're hoping that a Democrat gets in office on January 20th, 2029, and then they're going to leak it to the DOJ to put us in prison again. That's the goal.
Even though there's nothing there, because I was there with you, all we were talking about was defending ourselves. So in light of this, let's talk about the elephant in the room. I'm still very thankful to Trump. I'm proud I endorsed him. He started going sideways 5 months in. And I see you still being pragmatic, saying, hey, it's, you know, we're getting what we get. And I agree. The media misrepresents it when I call out Trump. You know, you guys, you know, were let out of prison by him and you know, now have been almost, you know, set right. And I get that loyalty point. But at the same time, we have to be loyal to America and the truth. What is your view about the fiasco? Because Trump's actions on the war, the inflation, all of it, is all the poll shows going to lose the midterms. What do we do about Trump?
Look, I'm going to give you my response, and I've given this response multiple times. I'm loyal to the president. You know, being in the hole for 3 years and sitting there does something to a person.
That by the way, I respect that, and I respect you and people that are still loyal, and I'm still overall, you know, support the good things he does. I'm not mad at it. It's a lot of the neocons attack us and say we're traitors and come after us when we tell the truth. They're the ones trying to say we're not allowed to ask questions, but I respect that and understand that, Enrique.
Because if they were to do that to me, and look, again, if they were to do that to me to throw you under the bus or Stuart right there, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say absolutely not. For one, because you guys didn't do anything wrong. And two, it doesn't matter. I'm not throwing my friends under the bus. But I will tell you this, that loyalty doesn't trickle down into his appointees.
Right.
And if they're not doing their job, I'm going to call them out. I was one of the first ones. One of the first ones to call out Pam Bondi. I got shit on so hard. I went after her at the end of February. She hadn't even been AG yet for, I think, like 3 weeks. And I went full throttle on her. So that loyalty does not extend to his appointees. They're supposed to be doing the job. They're supposed to be committing the agenda. I get that the president's at the head of this, but these people are tasked with doing putting these people in prison. The SPLC... You know when Heidi should have been indicted? In March, at the latest in March. I would have given Pam about 30 days to put that magic desk together and put her in
prison.
Well,
let me back you up. I was told by multiple DOJ sources that Bondi was using that as dirt and was going to slow roll it. And to Blanche's credit, I just do what my sources, you know, tell me, because they've been proven accurate and they don't even know each other. That he just didn't get in the way. He just greenlit it. That's another question, Stuart. Why do you think he greenlit this?
The prosecution?
Yeah, he just said, do whatever. He just said, do your job.
Well, like I told
and Bondi was blocking it.
Like I told Harrison earlier, the Trump administration is schizophrenic. You see good things, but then you see, like, Shana going to prison on Monday for being a mom. Why was she persecuted and prosecuted under Trump's roof, under the new DOJ? Trial in December of 2025 and sentencing in April of 2026. Why is that still going on? So let me answer your question. I'm grateful to President Trump, even grateful to the DOJ for what they've done to restore us to our rights. He set us free. Our rights are restored. But my oath was to the Constitution of the United States, not to any man. I served as a paratrooper in the Army. I have to hold his feet to the fire. He has the same oath I took. He has a duty and responsibility.
Except preserve. He has more.
He does. You're right. Even more so as a president. So I have to say, my honor bound in my oath to say, President Trump, you are squandering an opportunity to save this country. You were saved in Butler for a reason. This is not it. The reason was to drain the swamp and take down the deep state. He's got to get back on track. No man's beyond redemption, but he needs to get back on track. He has gone off track. And I'm duty bound to say that, as grateful as I am him setting me free. I have a duty and responsibility to speak the truth to him.
I have a little bit of breaking news, actually.
Please, Enrique.
You hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
It's coming on my screen right now. So the DOJ has just filed what it's... And excuse me, because I haven't been able...
Take your time.
I can't read the whole thing right now. I'll send it over to you guys, so maybe you report on it. But the DOJ has filed... two dismissal motions in our civil case and one motion to change venue, which I'm kind of actually liking just by reading the.
Saying you needed that 20 minutes ago. Now it's happening.
Yeah, literally right now, as Stuart was talking, I see the emails coming in. Again, I haven't been able to read them. This was expected by us. We know this. We got to see what the content in, the strength in it. The DOJ procedure is no matter what they're supposed to, by policy, they're supposed to file a dismissal motion. I think Stuart might know that. Let's see the strength of it, because last time it didn't pass muster with the judge. The only thing is that the judge wanted us to rearrange our civil lawsuit against the United States, and we did in this case. So let's see where the judge falls on this, but I'll send this over to you guys so you could analyze it.
Well, look at the public effect of this. The ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center, are joined at the hip in covert operations and running these groups. I don't see, just the court of public opinion, this is a major blow against them. Regardless, this is a political public victory.
Agreed. In the court of public opinion, they're losing right now. And the ADL is exactly the same, and even worse in some ways, because you've got the leader of the ADL over in Israel colluding with them about how they should censor Americans and target Americans. He's right there with Mossad, and I believe both of them are like that. I think if you unravel that string, you'll find that Mossad, ADL, SPLC, CIA, FBI have been colluding together for decades to demonize anyone who's standing up against the agenda to destroy the West, to destroy the United States, destroy our Constitution, and destroy Western Christian civilization.
He looks like a supervillain from like a...
looks like Nosferatu.
He does. Yeah.
And look, that guy, and I agree with Stuart wholeheartedly. I think the if we're going to go after the SPLC, the ADL should be investigated and prosecuted. I hope that that's in the books. I hope like I'm speaking this, and there's somebody in the background working it. Oh my God.
Perfect.
Yeah, we need these organizations are like the public face. You got to think about these as the fourth column of government, right? They know that they can't circumvent the Constitution just openly. So what they use is they use the SPLC and the ADL to circumvent, to silence Americans, to pressure these social media companies to silence us, to get financial platforms to deplatform us, credit card processors. I know that you've had quite a time with credit card processors.
Debanking all of it. I mean, when Trump first got in, that CD-ROM of how it was targeted by Obama and then by Biden, by the FBI for destruction. It said that. And so that's the big issue here is this is real government weaponization. This is terrorizing the American people. And, again, you're right. This has to be totally dismantled, and the American people have to become aware of what we're dealing with here.
And one message to the president, if he's watching here. Stuart said it. You know, we got 2 years left, less than 2 years left in this administration. President Trump, if the DOJ doesn't take action against these bad actors, and I already think it might be a little bit too late, if we don't take action on these like ASAP, they're coming for you. And once they take you out, right, that's it. There's no longer this loud voice that'll help us out like you did with us on January 6th. They're going to come for me. And I don't care what you think about my brother Alex here. They're going to come for him. They're going to come for Stuart, and they're going to come for your family. And I think that's the most important thing is weaponization of the United States government under Joseph R. Biden is the number one issue in America. It isn't the economy. I'll gladly pay more for eggs or for oil if we get these bad actors.
No, I agree. We saw real mass indictments. The Republicans will win in a landslide. That's what all the numbers show. And we're starting to see a little bit, which I didn't even think we would see. And we need to see a lot more. We need to see it right now. But I got to tell you, the Paul Weiss Law Firm, Koskoff and Koskoff, that run all of this, it's all coordinated, all the same groups. Here's a question for both of you. I kind of teed this up at first. I was trying to say, aren't we cool? I was kind of joking. It's not been fun. Why do you think, because it's come out now, and it's confirmed from Norm Pattis and others and my sources, the DOJ, why were they obsessed with InfoWars, Oath Keepers, and the Proud Boys? Why did they target us?
They feared us. They know they can't buy us. They know they can't intimidate us. They can't scare us into shutting up. And so that's why they try to take us down by every means possible, including putting us in prison.
And that's why I raised it not to toot our horn. Oh, we're badasses. We did our mission, our duty. What we're doing is what others should do. What we're doing is what the enemy fears.
That's right.
Enrique, you want to comment on that, why they came after us?
I'll tell you why they came after us. It's very clear why they came after us. This, all three of us right here, we're in the fourth dimension, Alex.
We don't just create pixels. We don't just have shows. We don't just speak to a microphone. We come out of that screen that you guys are watching right now, and we do things in real life. And that is the scariest thing when it comes to looking at us as opponents, right? We're not known for our mean tweets. We're not known for arguing on the internet. We're known for organizing and taking action. And that is the scariest thing in the world. You know, look, I've been told
by top Democrats when they decided to come after me really with the CIA hard. They're already doing it. When they saw a third of the people at the RNC in 2016 in Cleveland wearing our shirts, and we had airplanes saying Hillary for president, and sandwich trucks with TV things against Hillary. They were like, that's what they said. They said it was us organizing the people. It was the fact that we were willing to energize, which isn't about how great we are. It shows what the enemy fears and what they're actually worried about is real grassroots action.
That's why they killed Charlie Kirk. Same thing. He went out there in physical space and took the risk of putting himself out there. That's right.
And one of the people, one of the groups, and one of the people to blame for the assassination of Charlie Kirk is also the SPLC. You know, they demonize them so much. They sat there, they kept hammering him until somebody or a group
or a nation
that they needed to take out, a nation, that they needed to take out Charlie Kirk. And look, they did it. And we're next. We might not get a bullet to the throat, but all they got to do is put us in a concrete coffin at a BOP facility and do what they did to
us. That's what they said about that came out in different documents, and Charlie talked about it. The minute he saw Trump reelected, he said, great, I'm not going to prison. They had the DOJ all over him. They were planning to put him in prison, claiming money laundering or whatever, because they were raising all this money and getting all these millions of voters. And it was because he was so boy next door, you know, and really wasn't really just, you know, leave it to Beaver, real guy. And we are too, but we're a little more racy, at least in the way we look. You know, we're somewhat tough guys, and literal veterans, eye patch and Enrique doesn't look like a pussy either. They're like, well, at least we can just demonize these guys. But Charlie, they just said kill his ass because they knew the demonization, the indictment wasn't going to work. So in a way, it's lucky that they kind of saw us as rougher or they'd have blasted us. And I don't want to predict anything, but I'll tell you, I think we're all now going into the future, particularly once Trump's gone. I think they're going to just go right to that next. Can you feel the danger, Stuart?
Oh, sure. But, hey, I accepted that a long time ago.
I do, too. I'm just saying. It's not we're scared of it. Yeah. I'm just saying this is a man's game. We're in the arena. We're not fucking around.
I'm on bonus time. I almost died twice in the Army and once afterwards. And so I'm on bonus time. I'm okay with it.
What did Heidi Bayrick have to do with the Charlie Kirk assassination? I'd like to see an investigation into that, too.
But that's the thing. People have their questions about it, and that's fine. But the left said we're going to kill him. They said he'll be dead when he comes to town tomorrow, and then they celebrated it. So, but then you got the FBI covering up foreign involvement, so then I'm like, look at it. And so it's people get asked, what side am I on? I just investigated. Let me ask you both, just in a five-minute analysis, Stuart, and then let's go to Enrique, and then we'll let him get some sleep and bring in Joe Biggs. And people say, well, it's a black hole. You can't prove it either way. But we need to address the public. The loss of trust in the system is because the system has been so deceptive. But Stuart Rhodes, just looking at this fiasco and where it's going, gut level, what do you think really happened with Charlie Kirk?
I think he was killed by Mossad. That's what I believe. I think that he,
elaborate.
I think he was. I think he was.
We got Topo Chico. I'll listen to you, Mayor.
They liked him as long as he was supporting Israel. And as soon as he started questioning what happened on October 7th, and saying that it must have been, you know, a stand-down order, because he knew there's no way. And I saw the same thing. He said, I've flown from Jerusalem to the border with Gaza, and it only takes like 45 minutes. Why was there not a rapid response to the attack? Why were there not jets? Why were there not attack helicopters or airborne troops? And he made a good point. Makes no sense. It's kind of like what happened with 9/11 in our country. A stand-down order was given, basically. So I think that's why they killed him. He started calling the question that, and started looking behind the curtain about what's going on and why, and he became too dangerous because he went off the reservation. They thought he was an asset. He turned into somebody that could be a dangerous opponent for them and take them down, and that's why he was killed. That's what I believe. And that's why the FBI, under Cash Patel and Bongino, were putting a kibosh on Joe Kent looking into, doing his job, looking into a foreign nexus into the assassination of Charlie Kirk. So where there's smoke, there's fire. Enrique, what do you think, brother?
Stuart, look, I can't pretend to be a professional. I don't have enough time. I have way too many guys to take care of to actually sit with all the facts in this case. One thing I will tell you, a personality that actually bothers me, and look, I know a lot of people are going to disagree with what I say right now. I believe Candace Owens is a charlatan. I believe I've seen it from the beginning, her race baiting, her sitting there using her race to further her cause, and every time just playing that SJW. I think she does a disservice, honestly, to people that actually want to seek the truth. People like you, people like Alex. I think there's a lot of people that do want to seek the truth, and she kind of makes it hard for people to even put a question mark on it, because instantly, like, you go with the rhetoric that she says. I've known about her, and I've known her for quite a bit. And I could tell you that one person that you shouldn't listen to here is her. Asking questions is fine. And look, I think that there might be something to it just being more than just the shooter. Right. I think there's lots of.
He definitely had. He might be the shooter. He definitely had help. And let me say this. And when you continue, Enrique, this is a big topic. People need to know it. And people tune in and say, well, wait, one guy says it's Mossad. Another guy's saying this. I respect what these men. We don't know. I'm pretty smart. And I don't know. I talked to a lot of military people and others that, you know, the story doesn't add up. They can't figure it out. The thing is so bizarre because the FBI covering up. And I've confirmed that with Joe Kent. I didn't get that from him at the time, but I confirmed it later. He was in the meeting. Sources told me when I first broke it, 6 days, 7 days after, that 6 days after, Patel comes in and says it's all done, even though Gabbard's supposed to oversee intelligence, domestic and foreign. He said, you're out of this. The president said so.
That's right.
And so, but absolutely. People get confused. They go, why did I criticize Candace on some issues, but then say, I think she won the debate? Well, I thought she won the debate just the way it came off. It doesn't mean I agree with everything she's saying. It doesn't mean I think she's right about everything. I think I went too far bashing her because I just couldn't believe, knowing some of the TPUSA people that have been there 10, 15 years, that they would be part of that. I know too much about the military and intelligence and assassinations. And there's not a Fort Huachuca with 12 colonels a day before a meeting on something like that.
I don't care about any of that. I base it on the fact that they told Joe Kent to back off about a foreign nexus. That is my spook.
No, I agree. But then people think you've got to say every theory that's brought up must be true. All I did early on was say there's a cover-up. They also won't look at the domestic groups. And then there was all this stuff that I knew wasn't true being injected. I said that's not accurate. I got called a Mossad agent for doing real research. I got a little pissed at her and kind of went after her. But then I realized there's this giant cover-up. I'm not pushing the cover up either. I'm trying to call balls and strikes, which is very frustrating because usually on a political issue, I can be cut and dry and be clear on it. On something like this, you want to trust the jury and the trial, but I've been through show trial, show of you, so they don't have trust in that, and that's why I say it's the ultimate conundrum. So finish your point, and then you, Stuart, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
I mean, look, I'm just going to give you a general point. Look, that's what the beauty of, like, this group is, like, us talking to each other. We disagree, or we kind of put question marks on things differently.
We're wargaming something. We're brainstorming.
We're brainstorming. And, like, look, I don't like the infighting, but it happens because in the conservative movement, we're independent thinkers.
Not a cult.
We come up to different conclusions on different things, and that's okay. And look, again, the Charlie Kirk thing isn't. I think it's one of the, if not the biggest tragedy of this century right now, currently as it stands. But it's not my lane. You know, my lane is to make better men. That's it. You know, I wish my friend Sarah Fields would come in and take.
No,
this
I agree. Game. I'm not trying to take away from it, but it's become a black hole where it takes half the energy and all these other issues we don't even look at.
Correct. And that's all I'm going to say. Look, I go back to one more point. I'm loyal to you guys because you know what? You, Alex, and you, Stuart, you guys have been loyal through this whole thing. And look, my loyalty is to people and the people of America first. Before anything, our nation can fall, and I'll stick with you guys.
We got to worry about the Democrat Socialist America. Well, finish up on Kirk, and I'll ask you both, and we'll let Enrique go and bring Biggs on. It's the middle of the night over in Poland. We as much as I get upset when Trump went sideways, my God, the Democrats are just demons. I mean, they're just...
Right. So to finish up on Charlie Kirk, I think they feared him for the same reason they fear us. I mean, the man was brilliant, and he was fearless. He was a devout Christian. Very sincere in his faith.
Real deal.
And he was winning kids over to Christ. And that was dangerous to the left, of course. But then when he began to question with his courage and his integrity and saying, I'm not going to take the money and just shut up. You can't make me be quiet and stop answering questions or stop asking questions about what happened with Israel.
And then they tried to spin it. That's one big black, one big strike at CPUSA. They said, none of that's true. He called me and said that. He said it on TV. Then she released all the text messages. That, to me, separate from who the delivery person is, that was really powerful.
Yeah, and he's telling Joe Kent in private conversations, make sure that we don't go to war with Iran.
He told me that. He called and thanked me.
Right. So like I said, I think they feared him, and they feared him going off the reservation, and they killed him for that.
And by the way, he didn't call me but a couple times a year. He called me during Midnight Hammer and said, keep the thing on. They want us to go to full war. It'll destroy everything. It's terrible. Keep it up. We appreciate you. And he called me, and he thanked me for exposing Epstein and said, keep the heat on. We're close to getting Trump to do the right thing. Right. So, I mean, I said, why? He said, well, you're important, and we want to work with you. Just come to some more events. Can you come to this? But he was literally so genuine. He said, yeah, I'm calling people all day. And that's what Kent said. He was running around the White House. I don't need to believe Joe Kent, who has incredible integrity. He did it to me.
Yeah.
I mean, so I know. I mean,
right. So two final points on that. A, if the FBI's lips are moving, I assume they're lying. I call them FB lie for a reason. B, I think Charlie Kirk, with his integrity, was so dangerous he would have become president of the United States, and if they couldn't control him, they had to shut him down, like they did with JFK when he started going off the reservation. That's where I stand on this.
I agree with you. The prime suspect is a deep state ally with Israel. But at the same time, bare minimum, they wound the left up to do it and now covering up for the support network of leftists that got him to do it.
Or a collusion of both. It could be a combination of both things. And Mossad committed assassinations all over the world. There's a book about that called Rise and Kill First, all about the Mossad.
They're extremely competent.
Yeah, they do it all over the world.
Enrique, closing comments. And then, just in general, how is it in Poland?
I was just saying, Charlie called me in February after I got out to congratulate me, and I always love him for it.
Classy as hell.
Yeah, like he didn't have to call me. He could have just like celebrated it on Twitter like everybody else. So that's there. And then Poland is, man, their motto is be like Poland. And it should be shameful for us, because we should have the same immigration system that Poland has. And their sign for their immigration is this, and we all know what this sign is. Right. But to them, that means zero. Zero immigration. We've seen the videos. They don't let anybody in here. I've traveled quite a bit this past year and a half. I have never seen a capital so clean and so pristine. The grass is the perfect height. There's not even like a bubblegum wrapper on the ground. Everybody's peaceful. I haven't seen one homeless person. This place is a dream. They have a great MEP here, Dominic. We're going to have dinner with him tomorrow. This place, I mean, you guys got to come here. Alex, you got to see this firsthand.
I hear all about it.
Let's
go together.
Let's do it.
Let's go to Poland. I hear it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. I'm here for another couple days, sightseeing with some great people.
Let's hope it all doesn't get vaporized in a nuclear war with Russia.
That's close. So super base.
Enrique, how do people find you and follow your great work?
We got a new website for the studio and the shop. It's warboys.tv. And there you can go catch our newest podcast. You could our written stories and our merchandise gear all in one place.
By the way, I love that black on gold hoodie. I'm going to get me one of those as soon as it gets cold.
Yeah, I'll bring you one. I got to go up there to Austin and go see you, man.
Well, you got an open invitation anytime you want, brother, and we really appreciate you. Warboys.tv.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Stuart. I'll call you tomorrow, brother.
God bless, brother. Be safe.
Man, up till 4 in the morning to talk to us. Let's get Joe Biggs on. Yeah. Bottom line, people can get discouraged, but compared to 30 years ago when almost somebody was awake, we've moved the needle a lot. The globalists are in trouble, which means they're going to strike back. But, I mean, overall, aren't you optimistic? You were in prison, and then they banned you coming on. You're like, Trump will be reelected. I will be released. we will save the country, blah, blah, blah. God is, you remember those conversations?
I had faith that I would not see that, do that time.
Repeat what you said, how you knew in the hole. You finally get out for months, you get a few phone calls, I know they banned you again and threw you back in or moved you a bunch. Well, I forget the story, but I was like, God, this guy's, because I was, they were under, I was under attack and I wasn't going to give up, but I was getting a little depressed. And I thought, if this guy can be in solitary confinement getting tortured, and I know he's totally innocent, I was there. I got to stop being a pussy. I mean, you were literally an example to me to be a man. I mean, I wasn't going to falter or give up, but I was, like, feeling sorry for myself a little bit. And I was like, if these guys can hack it and be so positive, right. You sounded so good on the phone. I was like, shit, I better pull up here.
Right. Well, to be clear, like, guys like Joe Biggs coming on right now, they were actually in even a year longer than I was. What got me through was my faith. I knew that, like, the story of Joseph being sold into slavery by his brothers and then betrayed by his master's wife with false accusations thrown in prison, that what man means for evil, God will use for good. I had faith that it would still, that we would prevail in the end. So I had that faith. That's what got me through is my faith. That's
and
it.
Didn't you wake up the whole prisons, too? I heard that. I really got upset about that.
Oh, no, they were all pro-Trump. I mean, 90% of the prisoners and the guards, black, white, Hispanic, everyone was pro-Trump. And the other thing that got me through this is my family history. Military men that served in World War II. What I was going through was nothing. I'm sure Joe feels the same way about it. As a veteran, I saw myself as a prisoner of war. I'm not going to let the enemy break me. And I knew that what we were going through was nothing compared to what guys went through in Korea or Vietnam as prisoners of war or World War II with Japanese. So we sucked it up and just dealt with it.
And I got to say this, because it's true. I saw the Special Forces veteran get his legs blown up in Afghanistan. I want the ships to be nice. I know they're treating them bad, but... Then I listened to other veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, where nothing but rations from World War II for months, you know, 30 years later, just fleas, bugs all over them, no food, no medicine, everything rotting. I mean, comparatively, the way we fight wars is very comfy compared to what it used to be. People aren't signing up for the military to be on a bed of roses.
Well, look, I'm always with the troops. I don't trust the brass. I don't trust
the generals. Oh, I don't want to abuse the troops. I'm just making my point.
Yeah.
But then Trump made an arrogant statement about, I'm showing both sides, about, oh, they haven't been deployed quite long enough. I'm just saying clogged toilets and some rotting food, which is not good. I'm just saying compared to what military dealt with before, it's not a big, it's nothing.
Right. So we keep in perspective. I think Joe will agree with me on this, is that, we know what it's, the history that of the guys like in Hanoi Hilton in Vietnam, for example, what they went through was horrible compared to what we went through. What we went through was nothing compared to that. So it helped us. I think us veterans had an easier time dealing with this. And frankly, prison's a lot like the military for that matter. It really is. You're throwing together a bunch of other guys from all over the country, black, white, Hispanic. You got to get along. And so I think that we had a leg up. I'll let Joe talk about that too.
Joe Biggs, former political prisoner. And I tell you, Stuart, you got that same thing Steve Bannon got. Came out of prison looking 10 years younger.
That's right. Yeah. It preserves you. It does. Prison kind of preserves you, It does.
So, Joe, going back to the original reason you're on tonight, I appreciate the time. A cute little dog. Bring that back on TV. What's the dog's name?
Let me see.
I'm going to steal that.
This is Molly. This is my new baby right here. This is Molly.
Like Molly's starving it up. Look at that fat belly. Good God. Anyway. Oh, my God. We got a little rat like that in the office, but it's a chihuahua. Hey, but... seeing the SPLC thing, and I'm revealing to you guys that it's confirmed you guys were targeted along with me and the Oath Keepers. Well, I know you already know this, but why do you think all of us got targeted? And what do you make of this lady that targeted us and ran the attacks in the lawfare against us has been indicted? And the word is she may be indicted for targeting us specifically. She's under investigation for that. Is that something exciting to you, Joe Biggs, or do you think it's a day late, a dollar short, or you think we're being hopeful, or what do you say to that?
Well, look, I think the reason they target us is this, is, there's a lot of people that get on the internet and they have a lot to say, right? But we actually put boots on the ground. We actually get out there and mingle with the people and actually get the pulse of what Americans think. And the truth is like a spark in a dry cornfield, When we get out there and talk and people hear what we have to say and they see the brotherhood that we have and they see the vision we have for this country, and they know that we love the Constitution, support it, they know it's going to spread like wildfire. And that's why they want to suppress us so much, is because we don't just have an online presence. We have a boots on the ground presence. Everywhere we go, people line up to see us. They want to talk to us. They want to be around us. They want to hear what we have to say, because they know Do we have a passion for this? Do we put ourselves out there? So many people put themselves out there online, you know, in a minute, you know, trying to hide who they are. But we don't. We put our names out there. We put out who we are, where we live, and make it easy for them to find us because we're not scared.
Right.
We love this place and we're going to fight for it no matter what, tooth and nail. You can throw me in jail. You can throw me in solitary confinement and I'm going to sit there with my head held high and I'm going to fight back. And guess what? Stuart and I, Enrique and I, we kept our heads held high and we kept our eyes and ears and nose in the Bible and look where God is right here. God is good. And we were able to sit there and fight that fight, make it through that, you know, trial and tribulation and get back out here on the battlefield.
And I don't know if we can pull up B-roll, but I want you to elaborate on this, Joe. The images in D.C., in California, in L.A., in Portland, Oregon, in Seattle, of a bunch of black, white, Hispanic, Americans, Asians, marching together with pride in the country, standing up to Antifa, attacking peaceful Christian barbecues and things, that was antithetical and horrified them, funding the white supremacist groups, funding the black supremacist groups, trying to make us kill each other. It wasn't just men standing up for America. It was men coming together. It freaked the living hell out of them, and that's why they came after you guys and came after Oath Keepers, was because you were the opposite of what they claimed America really was, and they knew it was infectious, as you just said. So I'm not happy we all got targeted, and me not as bad as you guys. So I was, you know, look, there, I'm junior to the persecution you've gone through. But just the fact that whatever it is we're doing is the answer because they're scared of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've been working the PSYOP forever. You know, they've been putting stuff in our food that you've been talking about forever. They've been trying to weaken us, dumb us down. They've been trying to mass manipulate us through propaganda, through our TV shows, through cartoons, you know, even installing, you know, Soros teachers in colleges and schools and things judges. Like that. But yeah, and we were the few that rose above it. You know, we were the few that rose above it and had a voice, and we weren't afraid to stand up. So we got out there and we rose above what they had thought that they had dumbed us down to, and people saw us and they go, man, if these guys can do it, we can do it. We can fight back. And it scared them. It really did. They saw us as public enemy number one. You know, it blows my mind still that I got more time in jail than Al Capone, you know, and this is the guy who legitimately like put people in the ground. And my crime is what? Sharing our country's, you know, history and telling people about the Constitution. I was thrown in the hole for giving a man a pocket constitution because they said that I was trying to hand out right-wing extremist propaganda. That's where we live now. This is no longer the land of the free. You know, free speech in this land right now is a myth. It's a lie. If you think that you really have free speech in this country, you're sadly mistaken. You know, the flock hammer is going up. They are building a police state, and that's something you've been talking about since way back. But now we're at a point where it's no longer just talk. It is actually happening. And they don't like it when people like us get out there and say no and stand toe-to-toe to them and said, we're not going to back down. We're not scared of you. You're not going to scare us. We're going to sit here, and we're going to tell you to go screw yourself. We're not scared. And that what that does is that's created a tidal wave of patriotism in this country. And then Trump comes on the scene, you know, back in 2016, and he's talking the same kind of stuff. And it creates this new movement that's got everybody amped up, you know, and they're scared that they're losing a grasp right now. They're clutching, you know, at what they can do and barely hold on. And they just don't understand that men like us, we don't back down. Doesn't matter what you do to us, we're going to continue to fight until our last dying breath, and we won't give up.
Well, that's right, Joe. And again, this is proof. They're scared of what we've been doing. They're scared of what you've been doing. And let's talk about Trump right now, though. I was nothing but a cheerleader until 4 months into this administration. It was so good, I couldn't believe it, on the economy with Doge, on the border, on bringing jobs back. It was insanely good. He followed through on no wars, big new wars when he was president the last time. And then he began to say, hey, Epstein doesn't exist, go to sleep. The FBI said Epstein, you know, killed himself and didn't do anything wrong. And then we saw, you know, everything else that unfolded and came out of that. And then this war, and now I think we're going to lose the midterms. And as populist conservative nationalists, you know, we're not in a cult like Democrats, but also they're super evil. So there's this thing of, we'll just support him no matter what, or the Democrats will win. But it's his activity that's turning off his base. And I know you're very loyal to Trump, and I'm very thankful and proud I support him in the past. We got a lot of good done. But I wish there was some way to get him to turn around and stop this. And I just don't know if it's too late. But what is it like for you, paradoxically, who I know is very thankful to Trump and, you know, all the rest of it, but you put your skin in the game. How do you feel about this, and where do you see the country going? And then, you know, we can sit here and bitch about Trump, and don't worry, I do, because I'm personally hurt by it and want him to do better. But what happens when the Democrats get back in? It's easy to sit here now, but we should talk about what do we do? How do we thread that needle?
Oh, I mean, I think I was probably one of the first people to start going against some of the things that he's done. You know, I am.
No, and I knew that, but I wanted you to say it in your own. I mean, where are you now on it?
Yeah. Well, I'm loyal to the Constitution. I'm loyal to God. I'm loyal to the people of my country. And I believe in America only. I think America first.
No, I agree. You're loyal to Trump, but I'm first. I'm first God, yes. Family, country. And then there, I mean, I'm not even loyal to myself compared to me. If I think about myself, I would have sold out to the globalists. Me. I'm not even loyal to myself. I'm an individualist, but I'm very collectivist in my action. I will sacrifice to the death for the greater good because that's what I was designed to do. I'm not a collectivist. It's the opposite, but I will sacrifice myself for the collective. There's a real paradox there.
It's
called
being a man.
Say that again, Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called being a man.
Yeah, like, and this is my thing. Elected officials are not free from any kind of criticism. You know, these men or women or whatever, they run for office and they make promises, right? And if they don't fulfill those promises, or at least I see that they don't try to do it to the best of the ability that I know that they can, I will call them out for it. You know, you look at old Trump from, you know, the Apprentice days and things like that. He kept people around. He kept this tight group of people around him. But it seems like he's not done that as well, you know, over the last few years. He's got a lot of people. He doesn't really know what they're doing. He holds these meetings. He just holds what they say at face value and believes that they're going to do what he asked them to do instead of going in and checking in to see if they do. So he gets on TV and makes these wild remarks going, well, yeah, well, this is happening. This is happening. This is going up because he knows that he told so-and-so to do this, but they're not doing it. You know, he's a detached leader at this point, and I've used this over the last year or so since I've been home. He needs to get back to being a micromanager in a sense, and I hate micromanaging, but when it comes to America right now, he has an agenda that he was voted in for that the mass majority of Americans wanted, and he needs to sit there and put his foot down. He needs to be checking in on these individuals, these picks that
I want to move back into the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL and their attacks, and I think false flags they're obviously planning. They've done it before. What comes after Trump? Because even if he was great, everybody keeps... I was in this debate a few weeks ago with these neocons. It's going to air. Brendan Strzok put on, like, next week. And they were just like, we have to have him. He's never going away. He's our king. Oh, my God. I'm like... And I'm like...
The brightness?
I'm like, he's already gone. You're not too bright, Joe. You look great. But you can fix that if you want a minute. And I love the realness. We're live here on TV. We want to see the wiener dog again. I want to steal that dog for you.
Oh, they want to see the dog again.
I just want to see your wiener, man. Saying,
there's a knob under there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I want to see your wiener.
I'm going to get it.
No, thank you.
I was getting the brightness. It doesn't matter. Just hand me the dog. So I was going to make a T-shirt. I was going to make a T-shirt that my girlfriend would have for me. This says, she only loves me for my small wiener.
I love that dog.
This is a mini Dachshund. And we got her from a breeder in Okeechobee. And she's about, 12, 13? Yeah, that's good. 12, 13 weeks old.
That's the sweetest. That's going to be a big one. That's a standard one, then.
No. She's tiny. Trust me. She looks big, like, when you're looking, like, on camera. So when people see her in person, they all go,
that's right.
Yeah.
Looks bigger on camera.
Oh, look at that little. It looks underfed, though. That belly's not fat. I'm joking. That's a little fatty. Look at that. Oh my god! I love those dogs. Oh my, Chihuahuas are really cute, dude. Yeah, I love it. Let's just look at this for a while. I'm sorry. All right, so what comes after Trump? Now that you showed me your wiener.
You know what we got to do is we got to make sure that, you know, people that have the same kind of points of view as us and understandings of what the country should be are getting involved in politics and running. You know, me, myself, I'm probably going to run for mayor of Ormond Beach next go around. I've already been meeting with people and talking about that. And then from there, I'd like to run for Congress, you know. But I think that's something that we should be doing and taking seriously, especially people who've been, you know, put through the ringer by a weaponized DOJ.
Well, I was about to say, if you want to know who's true, it's people that could have lied about Trump and let out of prison any time, didn't it? We don't just need lawyers, people. We need veterans of the information war and of the physical war for the Republic. And I bring this up for the third time to get bigger answers from you. We're not tooting our horn. This is science, political science. They targeted you, myself, you know, the Oath Keepers, the Proud Boys, and InfoWars in all these documents more than anybody else. It's not that we're great. It's what did they fear? It's boots on the ground. It's not being afraid. It's being true Americana. It's unifying people, you know, regardless of race, color, and creed around America. We need to be able to tell people, hey, you want to know what the vampires are scared of? It's scared of what we did. And we're not that special. All of you can do it. But we've learned through trial and error, they really don't like what we are. And mm-hmm. I'll say it. I'm not on a power trip. And I'm not into status. But one of the few things I start getting a little bit of pride about is being enemy number one. I mean, we are in quite a fraternity here. And I'm only saying that for viewers to kind of click. Like, when you support us, you're a part of this fraternity too. We're enemy number one, and we want to be enemy number one. We want to be over the target, getting the flag.
Amen. And I support Joe in running. Brother, you do that, I'll come out and knock on doors for you. Let's do it.
Hell yeah. I mean, look, they use the FISA courts to go against us. They had me, like as the most wanted in Interpol. The FBI had me as one of the most wanted. I take that as a badge of honor.
Right.
You know, how many people out there can say that? You know, when you know that the government's wrong right now and they're not doing the right thing and they're targeting you over everyone else, that shows that you're getting off your ass and you're doing something and you're, you know, making yourself a target. I know it's scary. I know it's a frightening thing to have. You know, the United States versus Joe Biggs or Stuart Rose or Alex Jones. That's scary as shit to have the weight of the United States government behind that. But guess what? When you stand tall and you look them in the face and go, I'm not backing down, they don't know what to do. You know,
well,
they
didn't even come to me. He said, if he even gets killed, we're not looking for that. But we signed up for this. So, they always threaten us, too. And like we don't already know.
Yeah.
Like, we know you're bad. We know it's dangerous. Like, you know, that really takes power from, like you said, Joe, when they figure out that you do know and you don't care, it takes their power.
100%.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I don't give a fuck attitude is what they're scared of.
Well, you know,
go ahead, Joe.
You know, I believe there's a lot more to it behind this SPLC, and I'm going to throw some knowledge out here real quick. But there is the group I've talked to you before about Task Force Orange, TFO. And then there's also a civilian group. It's called F3EA. And this is a creation, an amazing creation designed to fuse real-time ops, intel to target, locate, capture, kill a single human anywhere on the planet. But the fear that people were going to have was it would be turned on us. General Flynn was actually talked to about this in Kabul in 2010. And they brought this group to the forefront and they used it and turned it around on the American people. With people like, I believe.
I remember when the Army Colonel went public on OAN like 4 years ago. Yeah, for folks that don't know, spend more time on this.
Yeah, so Task Force Orange is a group that they used to call the Activity. This is a special forces group that is great at human intel, human resources, things like that, interrogation, psyops, things like that. They dig in. They're great at spying, using drones, getting your audio off stuff. They work with the NSA. But this is a group that we use to go after people like Osama bin Laden and others across, the world. But now these groups are being turned inward. And that's always been the fear. What would happen if that happened? And now with this rise of these flock cameras coming up, we have infinite cameras all over the place, allowing these entities to have a bird's eye view to look at us nonstop, day in and day out. They already have backdoors to Apple. They already have backdoors to all of our stuff. We used to get laughed at when we talked about that there were listening devices in our refrigerators and things like that. Now people are willingly buying Alexas and all this stuff to put in their home. Everything that we have now that we think is going to help make our lives easier is actually another pile of dirt on our grave. We are literally burying ourselves every day with what we consider to be this cool technology. And yeah, I'm a victim. I do like technology, but I also understand the dangers of it. And people need to understand that as well. They're watching us. They are building these data centers. You know, our newly elected to be possible governor, Byron Donalds, is a huge proponent of having these data centers. And they're going to use that to store all this stuff, not just your movements, what they say for criminal activity, but for everything, so they can start creating patterns and see where you go, when you go, and how you're doing. It's going to be a minority report. It's going to be like Minority Report, and they're going to start predicting things that they say you're going to do, and they're going to use it against you. We are entering the final stages of a full-on police state, and people are happy about it, and they're okay with it because it's all about
making things easier. Meanwhile, the Soros DAs and judges, over 1,000 of them, they are letting all the criminals out. It's all pure crap.
Yeah, it's war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And eventually, I mean, you've got...
Eventually, it's going to be used. I'm sorry, Charjo. It's going to be used just like Joe's talking about, the same kind of targeting. It's not just law enforcement, it's going to be military targeting inside the United States.
Absolutely. All right, back to the SPLC. Joe, what do you make of the group being indicted, their intelligence head being indicted, and again, it coming out? What would you like to see? What do you think Todd Blanche is really up to?
Well, look, I don't know what he's up to. You know, he's been working with Trump for a long time, and honestly, as soon as Pam Bondi was fired, he was one of the first ones to jump in there to get us freed, you know, and get us everything, you know, brought back, you know, justice-wise for myself and Enrique and Stuart Rose and things like that. So I can't hate on him too much for that.
No, but what I mean, from all his intel, Kyle Servant says he thinks he's probably good. So I thought when he killed Ed Martin's investigation into my weaponization stuff, he was bad. He wanted to meet with me, and I thought it was a setup. So I told him, F you, publicly on air. Maybe I should meet with him. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I would think so. I feel like he is someone that is kind of open-minded and willing to sit down. I think he actually has a level head. But what I'm worried about is this, of what we've seen so far for the last year or so, is, you know, it's easier to get indictments. I mean, holy shit. In this DOJ, and, you know, this day and age in our justice system, anybody can get an indictment. Anybody can get a grand jury to sit down and say, yeah, let's indict these people. But are we going to follow through with it? That's the actual problem. It's easy to just bring indictments up. But guess what? The same thing with Comey and all that. We know what Comey said when he was going to 86 the president. But to sit here and say,
the trouble is he told people what he meant. They have witnesses. So it's different. You can say, you know, 86 team and say, oh, I didn't mean it. But when he told people what he meant, he got lied. Now he's in trouble. Sure, what do you think about Todd Blanche? I mean, I want to believe, but I want to see the proof of the pudding here.
Well, like I said, it's schizophrenic. So why is he still prosecuting Brian Cole Jr., covering up? I mean, he's part of that. He, the entire DOJ, along with the FBI, are framing an innocent man being held in solitary confinement, trying to coerce him into a plea bargain. Same thing was done to us as being done to Brian Cole Jr. to cover up the deep state inside job of the pipe bomber. Right. So I don't buy it. And same thing goes with the lady I just interviewed today, earlier today on your show. You know, why is Shana going to prison on Monday? She was prosecuted under the DOJ, and right now she's being sentenced.
Tell the story for those that don't know.
So she's a lady who was fighting back against her son being transgendered as a teenager against her will, trying to save her son, took him to a boys' school. They tried to get her to testify falsely against the guy that ran the boys' school. She refused, went to trial, and they hammered her in December of 2025. Under Trump's nose, under Pam Bondi at the time, they went ahead and just prosecuted her, sentenced in April of 2026. She's going to prison on Monday. Right now, Todd Blanche could do the exact same thing for her that he did for us, for myself, the Oath Keepers, and the Proud Boys. He could go ahead and ask the Court of Appeals and Ninth Circuit to vacate her conviction.
And by the way, the son agrees with her now, right?
Yeah, the son did not trans. Thank God. By the grace of God, he did not get trans.
She's a hero.
She's a hero. So she's going to prison on Monday, and he could stop that right now. Todd Blanche could stop it just like he did with us. He could do a motion to vacate.
We know he knows about it.
Of course he knows about it. And so, well, let's make sure he knows about it. Phone lines.
No, I'm not defending him. I'm saying let's see how exactly you get
so,
my point.
You know, I'm not gonna give him a pass on that. So like I said, it's schizophrenic. I don't know what's going on. I can't get inside his head. All I know is
there's a GoFundMe.
Yeah, all I know is what I see. You still got an innocent woman going to prison for nothing, for being a mom. Same kind of lawfare that began under Biden. They were first indicted her under the Biden administration in 2021. They're still putting her in prison on Monday. Why? Why'd they put Shane LaMond in prison? Why'd that happen? A good guy cop.
Why is it the cop framed, even though they knew that, you know, the crackhead died of fentanyl? Why would they let him out of jail?
Right. Yeah.
You know, in mathematics, there's an order of operations, right? You know, you pick the things you have to do in order. And right now, I feel like the DOJ has got their priorities all messed up. They need to understand there needs to be a order of operations. We need to get the stuff that are easy to just wipe out like that. It's something that we can easily be done with and knock away. Yep. But they're too busy trying to like fucking do this stuff with these little small groups or these big conspiracy spider webs. There's a lot of things, a lot of people are being screwed over. It's public and nothing's being done about it. And they need to get and put their foot down and do stuff. The people are speaking. They're saying this is what we want, but no one's listening. And I think that's something that happened the first time, you know, under Trump, the administration listened. But this time it's like, I feel like we've all fallen on deaf ears. You know, we have a lot of things that we want taken care of and we're talking about it and they're not doing anything about it. It's like shooting fish in a barrel right now. We have so many people.
What do you make of all the people on the Israeli payroll? We know it's 1.3 billion. We're not sure who's all on it. We see the talking points trying to tell us not to complain at Trump. We're his constituents. We're supposed to talk about what we voted for. We're supposed to be vocal. We're not in a Democrat cult. And I don't mean to write myself into this, but I mean, what do you make of, like, you know, Tim Pool came out and attacked me and then said he didn't attack me. Now he says he has proof I get money from a foreign government with no proof when he took Russian money and met with Netanyahu. And he says, I'm attacking him. He attacked me. I mean, that's just emblematic of this crap that's going on.
Well, Tim Pool's bald and it makes it easier and naturally bald, not you. Like you're choosing it as a style. But Tim Pool's been bald since he was born and it makes it easy for them to like shoot brainwaves and control him into his head. That's why he wears that stupid beanie all the time. So you can't really take him seriously. I think he's an idiot. He's always been an idiot as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, we've got to focus on the important stuff, you know, and we, the people, have been saying what we want to get fixed, what we need to be doing. Look at Eric Swalwell. The FBI raided his house today. They seized his electronics at the airport today. Okay, so what's going to happen? Like, I want to see Eric Swalwell in jail. He's the same,
Chinese agent.
Yeah, he was banging Fang Fang and Chang Chang over there in San Fran. You know, so everybody knows that this guy has been, bought and paid for by another country for quite some time. You look at people like Randy Fine. This guy came out of nowhere, throws down some money, and all of a sudden is now a congressman here in my district. I don't know him. He doesn't live here. I've never seen him before. And we have these people that are being bought and paid for by AIPAC and all this other shit. It's just not right. You know, we need to get back to American-only politicians that have an America-only agenda, that are loyal to the Constitution, loyal to the American people. And I'm sick and tired of this crap. I mean, every time we turn around, we see a new Democrat that's, you know, committed this atrocious crime or done something or part of some pedophile network, and nothing happens.
Oh, no, yeah, what do you make of the Republican head guy in, yeah, there in Florida? Who wrote the thing with Fine to have that anti-free speech Israel law indicted for banging his grandson. I mean, this is sick.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. That's how they control them. They like pedophiles because pedophiles are easy to control. That's the bottom line.
Well, here's the thing, though. Weak people are easy to control. So what they do, they find candidates who are willing to put themselves out there, and they know they're weak. And then they blackmail them and then use it over them. What people need to start doing is grabbing their balls and coming out and going, you know what? Look, I'm going to run for Congress. I'm going to run for mayor. I'm going to run for, you know, whatever. And then do like I call like the 8 mile tactic in the movie with Eminem, where he comes out and he knows he's got a rap battle against this black guy that knows all of his dirt. And instead of letting that guy come out after him and throw his name or throw him under the bus, he comes out first and just spills the beans. That's what you have to do. If you want to be in office and you don't want to be blackmailed, you release it and you actually be honest. And you go, look, I've done this before. I'm human. I've messed up. You know, I've maybe when I was a kid, I stole this or I cheated on a girlfriend at some time or whatever. But just be blatantly honest about stuff.
But that's why they want pedos, because it's okay to admit you drunk drove or you did something like that. Right. You can't, these people with that, it's too far. Let me bring up another big issue. Go ahead. Sorry, Joe.
No, I'm just saying people are too scared to put that stuff out there. But guess what? The American people are going to respect it because that's what they want. They want to see that you can be truthful and honest.
Well, it's like when the SPLC infiltrated one of our employees, our video guy, for a year and a half. He got control of the security cameras that aren't in the building in our offices, but they're in the hallways at the entrances. And in a year and a half, all they had was me at midnight by myself in blue jeans with my shirt off with a bottle of vodka and a cigarette. Right. Well, I already told everybody I have an alcohol issue before and like tobacco. So everybody thought it was a joke. They thought it was funny because I already told them. It wasn't like I told them to get ahead of it. I can't help but spew everything I do.
And people don't care about that stuff. That's why they supported Trump. They don't care about his womanizing. They don't care about none of that. They cared about his promise to drain the swamp and take down the deep state. That's what really matters. And one thing I want to just want to piggyback on what Joe said earlier. I think the only people you should support for office are people that approved up. Guys like Joe Kent, who stood up and said, you know, what needed to be said.
They got the bona fides. I like Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah, Massey, Tulsi Gabbard. Like I said, so I think Massey's proved up. That's the only ones you should be able to look back at their history. Battle tested. That they withstood the fire and came out through it with their integrity intact. Otherwise, don't support them. We don't have time.
And we got
anymore.
A lot of the good thing about these wars, political wars, we got a lot of battle tested people now.
Yeah. So like I said, like Joe, I support him running for office. I know that he means it. That when he says I'm going to defend the Constitution and raises his right hand and be sworn in, he means it.
He can't be bought.
Right. He can't be bought. Can't be intimidated. That's what you want. Anybody else forget? That's why I don't support J.D. Vance. I don't care what he's saying. What has he ever done? So what's he proved up under pressure? I don't trust him.
Let's bring up some good news. It came out that Bill Gates' daughter at Stanford was part of a secret society for world government enslaving humanity. These are the names of it. They call it RULE, or Planetary Governmental Rules, the name of it. And it's all coming out that she's a master criminal like her father. I mean, this is stuff we would dream of. You know how we know about it? A whole bunch of the members of the group.
Students.
All that 12 in a year exposed it. I mean, that's what's got to worry them.
Doesn't surprise me. I saw the same kind of crap at Yale Law School. They want to rule. They believe they're entitled to rule. It's the same mindset.
The group's called Rule.
Go ahead, Jewel.
Yeah. It's like a collegiate Bohemian Grove. I mean, they're sitting there and they're prepping these children.
It literally says just prepping, how to brainwash and control for world government.
What the course is, though, is that's how stupid these kids are. They get into this stuff and they believe that they are learning to brainwash and control other people. What they are being is manipulated and brainwashed themselves so that they can be themselves Pinocchios and things like that.
For the exactly. Puppet masters.
Who are going to run everything. Yes. And you don't think that her dad knows that that's what's happening? Of course. He's willingly offering up his little lamb to the elite, you know, and as long as they have a robot that's willing to be a yes man or yes, you know, sir, whatever it is, they're down. You know, Bill Gates is all about eugenics. He's all about population control. He's all about, you know, what does this guy even have to do with, you know, vaccines? What's his background on that? I mean, this is a guy who built computers. Now, all of a sudden, because he's rich, he sits back, you know, behind the curtain, and he's pulling strings in Congo and all these other places like that. That should concern people. But people go, well, you know, he's doing something good. No, no, they're not.
And this is such none a window, people. Though, because I've told the story probably 800 times. My dad at 14, top of his class in Texas, winning the science fairs, all that. They come to school and they say, oh, we got a test thing. A few kids can take this. We want you to be part of a feeder thing for NASA, started by Eisenhower. Kennedy was there when my dad went to UT at 14. And he would never get into it all. But once he saw Endgame, he told me, no, they called me in once I've been at UT for a few years when I'm like 16. And they say, no, we're setting up a world government. We're going to do all this. My dad said, I don't want to be part of this. And I told that story back in 2007 when he told me. But my point is, this is the exact model. This is what they're doing everywhere.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Like I said, I saw it at Yale.
Yeah, I mean, you were top of your, you won like awards. So what did you see?
Same thing. I saw that. Like, the first speech that was given by the dean on the first day was, this block, Yale University, is the most influential block in the world. We influence, put our tentacles out all over the world, and we're influential all over the world. They bragged about it. So they're seen as a focal point of power. And they bring kids in, and that's why I don't trust J.D. Vance. I saw a lot of students like that. They're just ladder climbers. They're ambitious. They want power.
And it turns out he went to Yale, too, right?
Yes, he did. Yale Law School.
Because I remember there's a whole group set up by Israel. That's what you mean. Just Israel over time. Israel set up with him, I think it was Vivek, too, this Israeli operative group for future leaders in Yale.
Yeah. So I'm not surprised. I mean, I went there because we figured in the Ron Paul office, I worked for Ron Paul. I was like, I'm going to go to law school. And they said, well, why don't you just go to the best ones? Use their scepters of authority against them. Go to Harvard or go to Yale, and that way we can just say, okay, fine. We'll go there and get the credentials, but we'll use it against them. But I saw it. When I was in Yale Law School.
So you did what the left did.
Yeah. It reminded me of The Devil's Advocate. Remember the movie where the devil says, we're in the law because it's everywhere. I said it was like going there. The evil that oozed out of those walls when I walked down the hallway, I could feel it. Ambition, thirst for power, arrogance, hubris. They believe they were designed to rule, you know, meant to rule. And they recruit kids in all over the country. What's that, brother?
Pride. I said that's all about pride. What is our biggest downfall? What is the
original sin
there is?
The original
pride.
Sin. That's right.
And that's what the devil loves. He loves to find prideful people, men and women, people who think they're better than everything. Science, and like modern science is human hubris. People thinking that they know better than God. What science should be is the proof that God exists. But what we've done is, you know, these, you know, pompous human beings is we try to use it to disprove God and prove human superiority over God.
Yeah.
And that's what the left loves. They love to find people who are stupid, but have that ambition and are prideful and love themselves.
Not
and
just
love
the left,
money.
Though.
And yes,
it's the uniparty.
It's all the same at the end of the day.
It's dominant on the left.
And like Joe said earlier, these kids that go to these schools believe that, oh, I'm arrived, I'm going to be powerful. What they don't realize is that they are being used too. Like Yale, they have students from all over the world go there, and they send them back out, and now they get points of influence all over the world that use these people.
They look at your social media before you even get accepted, and they see, are you someone who fights back against the social norms? Are you someone who stands up and actually debates? Are you someone that just sits there, kowtows, tucks her tail between the legs, and goes, yes, okay, I believe what everyone else is saying. I'm going
and
with progressive.
And here's a microcosm. My dad got out of it. And then quietly never pushed me to what I did, but was always educating me. And it just shows they don't have all the power. And so my dad took what he learned from them and gave it to me to counter them.
Good. Yeah. Like if I wanted to play the game, I could have gone the same route J.D. Vance did. I could have gone and worked for a big business or worked for in Washington, D.C., worked for some mealy-mouthed Republican like Romney or somebody like that. I'm a Ron Paul-er. I refuse to work
instead,
for anyone.
You're 1776 2.0.
Yeah, so I didn't. I could have had my.
What do we call ourselves? I think America Only is great. America First is great, but it's 1776. We are America Reborn. What do we call the movement?
I'm a Christian nationalist, and I'm America Only. That's where I'm at.
Well, if you don't take care of, well, what is it? You like the VA? What's that mean? Me like VA?
F me like the VA.
F me like the VA.
I can't really read it.
It means F me like the VA.
Oh, I got it. Yeah. All right. In closing, guys.
But Joe, you got your rights restored, right? You got all your benefits back.
I got that, but they're still screwing me on my back pay. You know, I was at 100%, and I should have been getting about $300,000. Instead, they gave me a very, very finite amount.
But it's a good start. I mean, at least we're in the right direction. You're not in the solitary confinement.
Yeah, but still, though, you know.
No, I'm not saying you shouldn't get what's yours.
I'm not begging for something that, you know, I feel like I should be given. I'm asking for what
you
I fought
it.
For.
No, I totally agree with you. I'm just saying we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Like you're in a lot better mood than you were a year ago when I was talking to you.
Well, yeah, I'm doing my own artwork now. I've got my own art websites going up. I'm painting and doing really good stuff.
That's really good. Can I see your weenie again?
Yeah, here's my weenie. Let me see my weenie. Babe, where's my weenie? Yeah, so little Molly, here she goes.
Oh, sweet. That dog is getting extremely spoiled.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's a right-wing Hitler dog, right? That's terrorist. Like, just stop starving the animal.
Starving? Look at that pot belly on it.
No, I know. That was the joke. The dog is obese. Oh, no. I love them. Oh, I want that little.
Okay, TMI.
What? I love squeezing the little doggies' bellies. What, TMI? I want to squeeze the dog's belly?
Son of a.
You want to squeeze his wiener?
I don't want to squeeze the wiener. That dog's a girl. It doesn't have a wiener. I want to squeeze
it. It's a wiener dog. Don't you get it?
Yeah. No, I get it. Now, there I am. I'm not even a cat guy, but my kids, I looked up the smartest cat. And when they literally had me in bankruptcy 3 years ago, look how fat I am there. I was 70 pounds. They literally said, how much is your cat? Well, they tried to take the cat.
That looks like a freaking mountain lion. What the hell is that thing?
It's a ragdoll. It's really sweet. That's a Mushu.
See, See, I just said Barack Obama, and she flips out whenever I say something like that. She can't stand it. She hates libtards.
Barack Obama.
Like, we go out, if we go out in public or whatever, and she'll sniff, and then I'll know it's like a Democrat because I already know everybody here. It's a small town. I'm like, yeah, she knows. It's like, it's already in her DNA. She smells it. She goes, oh my God, these people are retarded. Get me away from here.
Joe, how do people find you? How do they follow the work you're doing?
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, guess what? September, was it 26th, right there? September 26th? Yeah. West Palm Beach, we have our red carpet event. We are releasing our documentary, the five of us. It was a documentary we made down in Miami through the Gateway Pundit. It's going to be at the Kravis Center. And I have a link that I can send you guys for ticket sales. But, yeah, we have a documentary that goes over the trial. Rudy Giuliani is going to be there. Sidney Powell, all kinds of people are going to be there.
I'll have you on back about that. But just tell me, you know the name of the event or the website, or just find, you have a website?
No, I don't have anything. I get banned more than anybody. You know, anytime I make an account on X, I get banned within like, a day or so.
Me too.
Because all these, libtard, yeah.
That's so all I got now is Facebook. That's the lower level people. American Martyrs is a film.
That's the cover for our book. We have a book that's coming out as well.
Do you have a MySpace, or they even let you on that?
I don't know. Do they still have that?
The joke.
Well, I actually heard that they were going to bring it back.
Yeah, they are. But what I'm saying is, can they email you, or you're still depersoned?
Yeah, I mean, you can email me if you want, joebiggs525@gmail.com. So, send it out. Let's go.
Probably ban that today.
Yeah. Damn it. You tricked me, dude.
No, I'm just thinking of it now. I've gone through it myself. And Stuart, how do people support what you're doing?
Yeah, they can go to oathkeepers.info. It's our new website for Oath Keepers. I'm rebuilding the organization. What the bad guys want, but just for us to die away. We're coming back. And they can also go to givesendgo.com/oath. They want to support the rebuild.
Not a better place to support with what you're doing. Give it out again.
You bet. So oathkeepers.info is a new website, and you can support the rebuild of Oath Keepers at givesendgo.com/oath.
O-A-T-H. You guys went to all the riots, picked thousands of businesses, did such great work.
Us and the Proud Boys also. That's right. Like Joe said, we're boots on the ground. Myself and Enrique Tarrio, we defended Alex Stein in the streets of Dallas a few months back, and all the lefties has lost their mind. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to being boots on the ground again, and I'm happy to stand shoulder to shoulder with these guys. So, hey, brother, God bless you, bud.
Hey, man, I love you, dude, and I'm glad that you finally, got your stuff dropped. It was weird. I couldn't believe that Judge Kelly actually made a decision before Meta.
Oh, yeah.
That blew my mind. He's never done anything on his own. He's such a pussy.
Well, Meta Meta's the designated hitter. That's the lawsuits that we're still part of are in front of Meta. So, yeah, he was really upset about having to dismiss those.
And like we were saying earlier, that one chick with the SPLC, she's the one that was behind, like, the expert on us that helped to get us indicted.
She was the expert on my show trials. She honchoed it all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and our civil cases, everything in civil cases.
Did you know they're hooked into NATO foreign funding like 30 years? Like, the CIA does it with a foreign country to do it. Like, it's like people go, oh, the government went after you. It was SPLC. No, that's the government cutout.
Right.
I know you understand how that works.
And that's kind of the bad part about what happened when they dismissed our cases and vacated. They did not admit any wrongdoing. If they really wanted to help President Trump, they should say, okay, President Trump is a co-defendant with Oath Keepers and Proud Boys in these civil cases against him. They could have given us gifts and given him a gift of like, hey, here's all the bad stuff that was done by the Biden administration in these prosecutions that would have helped us on the civil side. That's why I don't trust Blanche.
Yeah, we're not naive. We're just tracking this as it unfolds. You can find us at Real Alex Jones on X, alexjoneslive.com. The bad guys have worked overtime to try to take us down. We're still here. Great job with the crew. Some of them working since like 8 o'clock this morning. Lord willing, I'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central. And, of course, Harrison Smith with the War Room, 3 p.m. Central. Are you showing your weenie again?
He's showing his guns.
Oh, let's see the guns.
Showing the guns.
All right.
But look, hey, guess what? Send me that money, Blanche. We need to win this lawsuit. I need about 50 mil, and I'll go away for a while. Not really, because I'm still going to be a bigger thorn in everyone's ass.
Amen.
But we're going to use that money to help people out and do something good and help unite this country instead of just blowing money on seeing if we could turn mice into transgender penguins. We're actually going to use that money to back for real candidates.
For shrimp on treadmills. Can you guys pull up 15 million shrimp on treadmill study? I'm not kidding. I used to run this for decades. I don't know if you can find it. Maybe it's on X, maybe on YouTube. 14 million for shrimp on treadmills. They didn't even say, how'd you find shrimp? All right, now I'm impressed. Rob Agueros just found shrimp amazing. On treadmills.
Look at that.
Do we have a Neuralink chip or something? No, Sean upstairs. How did you guys find shrimp on treadmills in 2 seconds? Did you just see that?
That's amazing. Yeah, you got a top-notch crew.
I haven't asked that in like 10 years. How'd you find shrimp on treadmills in 2.5 seconds?
You read your mind.
Huh? No.
Pretty impressed.
That's awesome.
Go back to that. Imagine they'll take an old lady's house if she doesn't pay her taxes on the money, but they'll pay $14-15 million, whatever the headline was, for a shrimp on treadmills.
Of course.
Yeah, wait till they inject it with COVID and then turn into zombies. The next thing you know, they're running all over us and injecting us with fucking mercury and stuff. We're all like,
nee. Fauci, $20 million to cut larynxes out of beagles and put worms on them to eat them. I mean, what, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah. Hey, they're putting your face, right? Letting you know how bad they really are.
Well, it's a test if you'll do it.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Yeah.
Well, my dad was in that program. That was what they had him doing. It was just like, he figured it out. He said,
Can I at least say something about that guy that's like hosting your show now, the comedian guy? Can I say something about that?
Well, since you do that, let me give a brief update. So The Onion is owned by Bloomberg and the Everytown Group. That's on record. And they announced 3 years ago they won a bid, or 2.5 years ago they got the company. They didn't. They announced they owned it again. They didn't. The judge ordered us out of the building. We could have challenged her, but she would have put me in jail. So we said, fine, we'll give you what you want, because I keep saying, we're fighting. No one believed it was real. So finally, the local communist Soros judge said, get out. Gave us an order. I wasn't going to be in contempt. She locked me up for up to 6 months here in Travis County.
Right.
So I said, fine. We already got a backup studio, other owners. It's fine. We've sued them. A bunch has happened. You'll see big stuff soon. We just got to – I'm not going to leave it at that. But it didn't go well for them. They've already shut down their whole deal. And it was like they announced, they actually followed me on the street. It's real video of me and the Austin. Then they show my head blow off. That part's fake. All sorts of threats, all sorts of weirdness. And then announcing they're us. But all they're getting is their asses sued off. Good. They've already figured that out. It's already happened. The news doesn't cover it. So then my lawyers are like, just shut your mouth. That's why we keep winning. But there's a lot of announcements coming soon. But yeah, go ahead and talk about Bloomberg and The Onion.
Yeah, this Heidecker guy, man, it's a horrible impersonation, first of all. I mean, I tried to watch one of his skits the other day, and it was atrocious. Like, my stomach hurt. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And then I looked at the views, and then I read the comments, and I was like, how can they continue going? Like, no one likes this. Like, people on the left don't even think it's funny. I mean, I could get a picture of my little wiener doing a funny dance, and I'm talking about Molly, my dog. Her Instagram page is going to get more views than Tim Heidecker's fake Onion, InfoWars show. And his impersonation, he just sucks. He's not funny. He's not clever. This is like someone grasping at straws they're trying to make fun of you so bad that they've just completely missed the point and missed the mark. But I did watch, I'm rewatching, Homeland, and I'm like on season 6, and they've got that guy, his name's something O'Keefe, but it's your studio basically. And the guy's got a raspy voice.
That was based on me. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the movie, I only read the synopsis. I supposedly give up when they come after me. Well, that didn't happen.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like they try to attack us in every way they can. They do South Park on us. They do SNL skits about us. I had the guy, Tom Krasinski from The Office, who's married to Emily Blunt. He tried to portray me on SNL. You know, and they're not funny. I mean, the left is absolutely corny. They're unoriginal. Hollywood's failing. You know, and they hate that we are so in tune with pop culture and with what the American people want.
No, I agree,
want.
But it's really a threat to get me really on the street of Austin, then cut an AI, my head blowing off, and say, Alex Jones is dead, his head's blown off. And they think that, like, threatens me. It's just like, dude. You know.
I've seen how it works there in the studio. You know, I work there. We all know that. You know, and I see how we take an idea, we see something happen in real time in the news, and within 10 to 15 minutes, we have a skit that's so hilarious and so informative that I'd be in the back there crying, rolling. Like, it was so good. These guys, they probably sit there for months on end trying to put out like a 1 minute video, and it completely tanks and bombs. You know, they're just not in touch with reality. They don't understand. They're so consumed by hate and anger and they've just completely missed what it means to be human, to be alive, to love life, to treasure and cherish things.
Yeah,
and,
the imitation.
Yeah, it's
well, wearing something skin is not being it. I can put a tiger's pelt on or a grizzly bear. I ain't a grizzly bear.
Exactly right.
So
they're unoriginal and cheap.
Yeah. I'm not even giving them attention because they totally implode it. And plus, they're getting their asses sued off. Only because of the listener support. That's what we're so. People thank me. I say thank you for keeping me in the fight. All right, Stuart Rhodes, God bless you. God bless Enrique Ontario earlier, sleeping good, like a little baby now in Poland. And, of course, the great Joe Biggs. Joe, we love you. You got to get back on sooner. Like, 6 months goes by. I want you guys on every week. Like, hey, get them on. You guys need to start calling me and saying, get on the show. Because, I mean, like, a year will go by. I had a caller calling.
Well, go ahead. Well, I've been texting you a bunch, but I don't know if you have a new number or whatever like that. And I'll usually text you with ideas and stuff, but I don't know. Sometimes I know we get numbers changed and things like that.
Well, I need to get a new phone because I learned people get blocked all the time, really important people. So I bet you're blocked and somebody does that. I got to get a new phone. I'm going to get your text, Joe.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to come back and do a show too, man. I think it'd be good to have, you know, Stuart. Myself and Enrique doing something.
We're going to get back with bigger studios. It's close.
I'm game.
And we plan to just crank the we're going 20 hours a day is my goal. At least 19. 5 a.m. to midnight. And we're going to blast this son of a bitch off.
The three of us, between Enrique and Stuart and I mean, we have enough material to last years. I mean, the things that we've gone through and seen and the ins and outs of stuff, the contacts we've made within the government, you know, with the... You know, these different
groups. No, I agree. You guys
groups.
Need to do a show, but I want a 10% to be about, I'm not putting down your story. Yeah, we want to not about that because we don't. I want your analysis of things happening. Because you're smart.
No, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
What I want to do, yeah. But I just want to take that knowledge we have, we use that to help, you know, like, and this is why I tell people about you. They go, how is Alex in real life? What is he like? And I go, dude, I said, what you see is what you get. Just he's like very that. High, energetic. He is like that. On the screen, on camera, off camera. I said, but we have to understand about him. He's not someone who just, you know, is giving your opinion or giving an opinion on something. He's actually been reading books for years. And that's what you have to do. You really have to be in love with this. You have to love history. And when you read history and you understand history, you can see the patterns. And from those patterns, you can make pretty, you know, spot on predictions about what's going to happen in the future. And I think that's something that you've been really successful at doing is being a student of history and being humble about that and learning as much as you can day in and day out and not giving up and not stopping and continuing to read. And, you know, and that's something I did. You know, when I got to jail, I go, you know, I've got to do like Alex. And I read. I've read over 1,000 books now and I still have books coming in the mail and I'm reading them, you know, as much as I can, you know? So I think that's what you take your personal experiences, you take your knowledge of our history and our culture and the culture and history of the world. And you use those informed, you know, that knowledge that you have to make an informed, decision and or, you know, hypothesis on what's happening or what's going to happen. And I believe that the three of us have that ability because we're all students of history like you.
And we've all been targeted by the globalists, which means we're over the target. God bless you. Joe Biggs, I love you. I appreciate you. And you guys are brothers forever.
God bless, brother.
Thank you so much. And great job to the crew. Go get some sleep because we're back at 8 a.m. God bless you all. Share the live feed. Share the clips out of the show. Great job to the whole crew. We love you. And whatever happens to SPLC, publicly they've gone down. They're indicted. They're getting indicted. More indictments coming. So at least we're getting that. And that's the consolation prize. God bless you all. Have a great evening.
Amen. God bless.